Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Yeah, Jan, it looks like a check. Piece of paper of some sort, receipt.
Jan, this is Angela Martin from accounting. Mm-hmm. Look, we have a rebate from the Federal Work Opportunity Program, and no one knows what that means.
And we get that money for hiring an ex-convict.
I didn't hire an ex-convict. Unless they mean Toby, convicted rapist. I'm just kidding.
When did the check come?
Last week.
Okay, that's when the branches merged, so Josh must have been taking advantage of this program. Smart move.
One of the Stanford people is a criminal?
Hey, Jan, speaking of Stanford, Hannah brought in her baby.
Jan, which one of the new employees is a criminal?
A reformed convict, and I'm not sure. So hang on, let me email our HR. Stay on the line.
Who is it?
Hannah? Andy?
Andy?
Martin?
You are such a racist.
Wait, why am I a racist?
Because you think he's black.
He is black, right? And
stop it, stop it. He was the right one. Stop it right now.
Yes.
Okay, it's someone named Martin Nash.
Yeah.
Michael?
Why did the convict have to be a black guy? It is such a stereotype. I just wish that Josh had made a more progressive choice, like a white guy. Who went to prison for polluting a black guy's lake.
I wonder what he did.
In our society, a black man can be arrested for almost anything. He was probably at a sporting event and saw some people pushing each other, and he intervened.
Why would anyone go to jail for that?
So what we need to do is to forget about this whole Martin in prison thing. People will draw unfair conclusions about Martin and or black people.
Cool.
Okay. Angela? Sure. Let's protect the convicts at the expense of the general feeling of safety in the workplace. As a 90-pound female that sits in an ill-lit, rarely visited corner of the office, naturally, I agree with that.
Good. All right.
Fox News is hardly the only company dealing with sexual harassment issues. Uber has hired former Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate allegations made by a former employee that sexual harassment is a pervasive problem at that company. And similar claims have been made by employees at Sterling Jewelers, owner of the Kay, Jared, and Zales chains. Sterling's parent company says those claims have no merit. Still, what's the right way for an organization to respond to accusations that it has a deeply ingrained culture that permits sexual harassment? NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports.
During his career in human resources, Jeff Owens has handled a number of sexual harassment cases. He says outcomes vary depending how incidents are handled. For example, one healthcare firm he worked for in Fort Smith, Arkansas, 2 decades ago, decided to settle a sexual harassment allegation brought against an executive.
The thought was, this has been resolved and we're covering up and we're moving on.
But that settlement emboldened the executive, says Owens, who now works for Tulsa Community College.
That provided a level of arrogance to that person because they felt like the organization was protecting them because they held a strong position or had greater value.
6 months later, after a second complaint came in, the same executive was fired. Owen says the termination had a very different effect on the victim and, in short order, the company's culture.
She, in turn, feels empowered that that organization is going to protect her.
Experts say deeply ingrained cultural problems of sexual harassment can be addressed, but that it requires demonstrated commitment from on high.
As the CEO goes, so goes the culture.
It also requires a good policy, education, and training, and consistent enforcement, even if it involves a powerful or popular employee. In short, it can be a deeply painful and embarrassing experience, as one Connecticut boarding school is finding out. Last week, officials at Choate Rosemary Hall released a devastating report it commissioned. It details 5 decades of sexual abuse at the hands of a dozen teachers. Cheyenne Montgomery, one of the school's victims in the 1990s, says she pushed for the report because she felt the school needed to face its demons.
I think this is going to make Choate a better place.
The report supports Montgomery's story that 2 teachers befriended, mentored, then sexually preyed on her. It also detailed a 1999 rape by a teacher witnessed by students on an overseas trip, and, more generally, how teachers lured students into their homes or off campus to take advantage of them. Until 2010, offending teachers weren't reported to law enforcement. Many were, in fact, given recommendations to teach elsewhere. As the Catholic Church did and as Penn State's football coaches did, Choate chose to remain silent again and again.
Pushing things under the rug and not talking about it and not acknowledging of it and really taking care of the perpetrators and not the students.
Montgomery, whose experiences haunt her every day, says the abusers use their own reputations as shields.
It seems like they have this, like, charismatic draw. Like, a lot of them are really, you know, we're popular teachers.
Standing up to that culture can feel very uncomfortable, as Dana Hewick discovered as a young HR manager 15 years ago. At the Washington, D.C. area construction firm, she got comments like,
"Oh, baby, you're looking good."
Or,
"Sweetheart, just, you know, go sit over there and, you know, you don't need to speak up."
Hewick wrote a new policy and introduced annual harassment training and detailed the consequences of noncompliance. She says it was critical to include confidential reporting so more victims might come forward. Still, she says,
it took letting go some key people that were the worst offenders that didn't want to abide by our new policy and thought we were just joking.
She says once the company stopped tolerating harassment, other positive changes followed.
I think that was the start of, okay, well, if this wasn't the right way for this company to behave, what else do we need to look at?
Over time, Hewick says she saw the culture become more open and communicative, and people were held accountable for their actions. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, April 20th, 2017, so I have been told. This is our weekly workplace racism broadcast every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Each Thursday, we dedicate time to discussing strategies, counter-racist techniques for neutralizing workplace racism, whether it's you have race soldiers, white people on your job who are causing you difficulties. If you work and you have other non-white people on your job who are causing you difficulties, making things just hard for you to get tasks done. I think we've had a lot of folks who say they work with white people who just, they don't do their job. And that causes black people problems on the job. Certainly, we have had a wealth of folks who have dialed in to discuss unwanted touching, sexual harassment, even, you know, verbally, whether it's people making comments and what have you. All of that, that's what this portion of the broadcast is dedicated to. If you have commentary you would like to share, the number 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. Number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. I want to remind folks, this broadcast, this is not designed if you just tune in to be entertained, right? Like, hey, it's Thursday. I can, you know, tune in, hear what Gus and the rest of the, you know, nutty niggers that call into the broadcast, whatever tribulations they're experiencing on the job. That's not what, you know, this is designed for. I suspect if you are a non-white person anywhere in the world, you and you have a job, you're having issues with workplace racism. And I think that's one of the things Dr. Welsing and many of it, even Alison Manswell, even though I didn't agree with some of her views, but I thought she had a lot of great insight. And she wrote that whole book about workplace racism. I think even she would say, yeah, that's one of the things that black people should be doing. One of the primary topics that we should be addressing, workplace racism and strategies, not just to moan about, you know, the ways that white people abuse us on the job, but really thinking of techniques that will work consistently to counter what racists plan to do to us on the job, and that is to abuse and terrorize us every day for the duration of our time on the planet. That's it. I do have emails to read. I will remind folks, if you are not able to dial in on the phone and you want to share thoughts, observations, if you have your own suggestions that you want to share, you can email untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. And we can read your commentary anonymously if you prefer, and we can share it live time on the program today. Certainly we can, you know, share next week if you tune in to the archives. One thing I did want to share before I get to some of the folks who wrote in, I would take advantage with all of the commentary surrounding Bill O'Reilly at Fox on these allegations of sexual harassment against they showed photographs I saw on Democracy Now! Today, they, to me, looked like most of these females would be classified as white, at least the ones that I saw, video photographs. I could be in error about that. I didn't get to confirm, but that's what it looked like to me. Lots of attention on this. I would take advantage. Anybody, male, female, if you are in a work situation and anyone at any time has said something to you, and you didn't feel comfortable, touched you, because we've had a lot of that. Males, females, and I mean black females being sexually molested by white women. Black males being touched in an unwanted manner by white men. We've had, you know, a number of that all through the years and, you know, the regular stuff as well. But I would think of questions. I would formulate words. And again, I really encourage folks, you know, try to stay in the question lane. So I would try to think of a question. If you have felt uncomfortable in any way, or if you just think, hey, it has not happened to me, but I definitely think this is something that could be a problem. And I want to try to be preemptive, as they say, and just bringing this up, you know, if you, let's say you have a, your, whoever your immediate supervisor is on your job, if it's a male, female, whoever it is, you know, hey, Ted, I've been seeing all this with Bill O'Reilly and what was happening, and they were saying, you know, things weren't being taken seriously. Do you think it would be a good idea to maybe have a refresher about our sexual harassment policy, make sure everybody is up to speed, see what they say? Then, once they have the training, if you get that, I would have specific questions because, I mean, it could just be like a 30-minute thing, 30 minutes to hour, whatever it is. Get somebody from human resources, come in. This is the policy, boom, boom, boom. This is what's acceptable. This is not. I would have questions. Specifically, we talked about this before. You're not indicting anybody. You're not calling anybody out by name. I would just say, hey, is this acceptable? You know, is this acceptable in accordance with our policy and procedure to do this sort of thing? And just get it out there. Oh, okay. And then what is the procedure for dealing if it's unwanted touching, if it's I'm being hugged and I've said I don't want to do hugs. And in fact, I would take advantage big time. If you get the training, I would just state that in the training. Say, you know, I felt uncomfortable about this for a while. You all have been so supportive and I want to continue to do great work here. I just in my work experience, I've become very uncomfortable with hugs. On the job, and at this point in my career, I just prefer not to do any hugging at all on the job. I just prefer a good firm handshake. I respect everyone here, and I want to have a courteous relationship. I'm willing to help, but I'm just not comfortable with hugs in the workplace. Is that acceptable? And ask that in the training and see, man, I'd be willing to wager any amount of money. You're not going to get too many folks in that sort of environment where a trainer's going to say, oh, yeah, you got a hug. You know, when every time when Jane comes down that hall, you give her the biggest hug you can. I don't think very many trainers are going to say that. I would take that advantage because then you get to make it known to everybody that's employed there. I don't do hugs. And now this has been co-signed by the human resources or whoever. This has been co-signed. So we all know I don't do hugs. And so from henceforward, I can be cool. And I just don't do hugs. It's not personal. I'm just not. Hey, hand is out. Here we go. And we can move forward. But that would be my suggestion, to take advantage of this as best you can. We've had so many people that have had issues with sexual harassment, being molested on the job. Take advantage. Just go. And like I said, I would try and think of a question that can be posed and that will help you on the job. Just one. And if folks have feedback on that, that's great, too. Okay, we will read, I think, one email, and then I will get to callers and what have. We do have more than one, but I'll just share one to begin with. So this is Nikki from Dallas, black female. She dialed in previously. I'm hoping you can address this on workplace racism. The IT guy for my company is a black male, asked me about a black cube I have on my desk, and I told him it was a stress cube. It's a 1x1 black cube, and each side has a different mechanism on it. Well, he told me that my coworker went to management and told them it was a recording device and that I was recording her with it. I thought he was joking with me. Management has not addressed it with me in a formal sense, but on Monday, one of the managers did come by and ask me what it was. I've had this on my desk for months, and no one ever questioned me about it. The white terrorist that I sit next to has been nothing but a pain to me. I used to try to recycle paper by reusing the back of papers from the printer. She told management that they were reports that I had not done, so I just stopped recycling altogether. She then told management that I was on the internet all day, but of course, that was a lie too. She gets mad if reports are not stapled and or paperclipped properly and gets annoyed by everything. I think that at this point I want to move my desk, but I don't want to jeopardize the relationship with the IT guy. Please provide me with advice as to how to remedy this. I want to confront her now, but I know I have to be strategic. Attached is a picture of the spy camera. I guess if folks are really nosy, I could put this on my Facebook page since it doesn't have any identifying information if you're curious to see what it looks like. It just looks strange to me. I'd never seen one before. I don't know what it is. It just looks strange. It wouldn't strike me immediately as being some sort of recording device, but it does look bizarre. Anyway, I guess I would say, number one, Thank you for sharing your observations and this little situation that you're dealing with. I would really, I've said this for years about having anything on your desk that is unnecessary, that is not required for you to do your job. I have said for years, my experience, it is always a bad idea. It doesn't matter if it's pictures of your dog, family, children, you, candy dish, nothing on the desk or your work area except the things you need to do for the job. I've seen it repeatedly for years where this just becomes an excuse for white people to come and do something tacky. This becomes an excuse to come and start a conversation. This becomes an excuse for white people to steal things from you. This is a new one, I will say. Well, this becomes an excuse that you have some sort of, you know, recording instrument in your area or some sort of spy technology that you are using to snoop on. That is a brand new one. But that, I cannot stress that enough. And particularly because of exactly what you said in the email, this is such a hostile environment where you have racists around you that are daily, it seems, accusing you of things that you didn't do. Just you trying to reuse the side of the paper becomes, you know, the foundation of some sort of accusation. Just because of the hostility of the environments that we're in around whites, I don't recommend getting books like Mr. Fuller's mail to your job, because these are the type of people that are going to be getting your mail and holding it hostage before you even get to check it. I think Stacy in the UK, who's with us, can attest to that. It's just really keeping that in mind with the decisions that we make on the job. As for moving your seat or not, I don't know. That I guess you have to kind of make that decision if it's really important, if where you are currently puts you in closer proximity with being able to talk to another black person, and if you all have a good rapport, certainly that is, you know, a value if your seat gets moved someplace where maybe you don't get to see him as much or at all. But being mistreated is also, you know, something to consider, and where you would be relocated to. I think we had a previous caller where she said she was being harassed on the job, and she said that she did get her seat moved, but they didn't really, it's not like they put her in a brand new great location. She's still kind of close to the people that were harassing her. It wasn't a spectacular upgrade. And so I know sometimes with the moves, it's not like you get to pick your new location, so it might be that you just get moved to a new set of racists. So I guess I would try and think things through as much as possible in terms of, do you have an idea in terms of a new location that you could go to where you maybe still have, you know, close contact with the black IT guy and are away from the current whites that are pestering you and are maybe even more isolated in total. Maybe you can get moved to a location where you are around fewer people total. That might be an overall, you know, improvement in the quality of your work experience. I guess that's something to consider. In terms of addressing the accusation of the spy device, I don't know if you all have like weekly meetings where everybody like that's involved in this is together, everyone in your department or what have you. I don't know if you have those sort of meetings, but you could do it in a real casual way. You could just bring it up in the meeting. I know a lot of times at some point they'll say, does anyone have a question or something they need to raise? And you can say, sure. I just want to let folks know. I was told that, you know, people were looking at this and thought it was really bizarre. It's a stress ball. You can give them a quick demonstration because I know it does look a little bit strange, but I just wanted to debrief everyone. It is not going to explode. You can make, you know, a joke about it if you want to, or if, you know, you do not want to even do all that, just explain this is what it is. And that way you haven't had to identify that the guy told you about this. You're not having to address anyone and saying, you know, I was accused or anything. You can just, this is what it is. Boom, boom. And that shit. And you pass it around. We can do show and tell. Would anyone like to try it out? Give a demonstration and any questions. And that should permanently diffuse the whole matter. That's one way you could deal with it. If you all have those sort of meetings where everyone's together, you could handle it that way. If listeners have a suggestion for how they would deal with this accusation, would you confront the person or not even address it at all, since it had, I don't know if this has been addressed with you other than the black person coming to you and saying that, you know, people were saying they thought this was some sort of spy gadget. If it hasn't been addressed formally, I could see some people saying, you know, hey, I wouldn't worry about it until they come to say something to me about it. I could see merits of that as well. If folks have feedback, the number again, 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. All the folks who are with us on the phone line, who have a hand up, line should be open. And again, this is not the broadcast for spectators. Do folks have, I guess, first of all, any suggestions for the caller being accused of spying on her white colleagues with this stress device?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. I think your suggestion of discussing the device at a group meeting is a really good way of kind of just, you know, clearing things out or clearing the air on what a strange looking item on your desk is. Another way of easily just debunking what the device may be is you can send an email to your team that has a link to purchase their own from Amazon. I'm sure this device, I just from the way it's being described, I think I might have seen a few variations of this on various websites. So yeah, you can definitely just link them to a place where, you know, they can get their own product. And regarding moving seats can be a really big deal, and oftentimes that can undermine team cohesion. So what I would recommend is, if you really want to move your seat, you need to find a way to request a seat change without making it about conflict that you're having with your colleagues. So if this is a seat change for a medical reason the sun is in my eyes at this angle, or I really don't like all the traffic that I'm getting near my seat. You can make those, you can ask for those reasons, but the moment you make it because somebody is doing X, Y, and Z, it becomes a matter that HR has to look into, and you probably want to avoid that situation. So I suggest examining where you would like to move, coming up with good reasons as to why this move will be necessary or it will increase your performance. But do not put the onus on this decision on the behavior of your colleagues. Just avoid that altogether.
I think that's great to consider, Mr. Steele, in terms of them, because sometimes they don't even let you move. I've seen that as well in situations where, you know, the boss says there's going to be no moving of furniture, or we have assigned seats, and this is where I put my boys and gals at, and this is where y'all are going to sit. I have seen where that happens too. So, you know, it is a lot to consider with the move situation. Other folks, if we had suggestions, see if we can do that first, and then we can get to everybody if you have your own observations or questions, suggestions. Any other suggestions? So it was, I guess, twofold, either relocating from whites that are pestering her, and then this stress device, how should she deal with there maybe being an accusation or rumor that she has some sort of secret recording device on her desk? How should she address that?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. It sounds like the young lady has been accused of something, and I think this is where Mr. Fuller talked about, I think, the 5th and the 14th Amendment with due process. You know, is this a violation of the policy? Like I said, beat the policy. I'm sure it probably is. You probably don't want people to spy. Who's accusing me of spying? You know, I know Mr. Steele, he made the suggestion to recommend to have them go online. They could go online and look up this device themselves to see exactly what this is. They could have already spied, took a picture, assuming that this is nothing, and could be harassing her. You're accusing me of doing something wrong. Who's accusing me? Due process. No due process. You're harassing me. Leave me alone.
I can definitely see the merits to that as well. And that's why I think it's important. There has been no formal accusation, like a supervisor or manager know when it's coming said, you know, hey, we have fear or apprehension that, you know, you might have some sort of recording device. Like there hasn't been any sort of formal inquiry like that. I do think that's important that this was, I guess she was saying, just rumor that she heard from this black guy that she has a relationship with. But, yeah, that's why I said, too, I can totally see the merits of if you want to take it that way. I think we addressed that as well with Stacy, where there's been an accusation, and either we want it formal or we want it retracted. I think Stacy is with us, by the way, Stacy in the UK. I guess, yeah, just I would just keep that in mind with this one. It seems, unless I'm mistaken, there's no formal accusation. This was just rumor. That's how we're going with this one so far.
Well, until there's a formal accusation, I didn't do anything wrong. So I'm not bothering you. You're not bothering me. If it becomes a problem, then if they want to start the process, let them start the process. You've done nothing wrong. Nothing.
Other suggestions on this one? See, I thought we had some other hands up. I'm just checking to see if we had any other suggestions before we move on. Other suggestions? I guess maybe people don't have suggestions for this one, I will assume. If we pick up any folks that are listening in, if they have any that they would give moving forward, let us know. The female caller just dialed in. I see the counter-racist logic in that way of thinking as well, that there's been no formal accusation, so I'm not even going to waste my time to deal with this at all. I see that logic as well. That's kind of one you just have to figure out which one you're more comfortable with, make a decision, and, you know, keep moving. Other folks that dialed in that have a hand up, oh, man. Well, I guess let me make sure, since now there are new hands. If any of these new people, are these folks dialing in with suggestions for the Nikki in Dallas? Anyone calling in with suggestions for her, or are people just dialing in with their own workplace racism issues?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. Retired firefighter in Florida.
Greetings, everyone. Did I hear of a possible choice of removing oneself away from that person?
Yes, that was a part of it. She was saying that she's around white people that are, you know, kind of pestering her. There's a white woman, it seems, who's making all these false accusations, and a white guy as well. And she was considering maybe getting a new seat. That was part of it as well.
Well, that's definitely one that needs to be examined. I thought I heard something about the possibility, and it is real, that you can be leaving from a white racist female to her cousin, white racist female or white racist male also. But how long does it state on how long she's been with the company?
She's dialed in before. I'm not. Oh, she said she wouldn't be able to call in. She's dialed in before. I don't recall. This is Nikki from Dallas. I don't recall how long she's been here, but this is like an office setting. where they have, you know, desk space, what have you, I guess normal office type setting. And a part of her concern about moving was that she has a relationship with a black IT guy. And, you know, that was a concern that if she gets moved, then she might not be able to continue having a quality work relationship with him. But she's also being terrorized by these racists that are around her. So,
well, if that particular relationship is worth it, I'm talking about with a non-white black person, then that may not be one of the options that she chooses. Maybe they're not I'm not saying they're not as bad, but her means to put up with it would be maybe she thinks it may be suffice enough to still maintain that relationship with the more constructive situation with the non-white person. If so, do it. But you got, you know, some choices in it. I still would wonder, well, just moving yourself to somewhere that you have a good idea that's more comfortable, I'm trying to figure out why wouldn't you be able to still have the relationship with the non-white person. There's many means of communicating and staying in touch with that other person. But, the harassment, that's a problem to think about. But I would remove myself from, I think I would remove myself from the person or persons, if I could. And I also heard if they're just contemporaries or just talking, you know, complaining out loud, I wouldn't even worry about it. I probably wouldn't bring that item. I probably wouldn't bring that item to work anymore. I probably would do that and then just leave it alone from there.
Gus Tevin. For sure. Appreciate that, sir. Gus T. Renegade, again, a big fan of not having anything on the desk except things needed to complete your duties, tasks for that job. Did any of the newer folks that called in with a hand up, do you all have suggestions for Nikki and Dallas, or are we just folks wanting to talk about their own situation? All right. I assume folks want to address, if you have your own suggestions or incident you want to share, feel free.
Can I just address the previous call with one more thing? Also note, every single complaint you get from the colleague that is presenting you problems, be sure to document that in the form of an email, in the form of... to touch base. You had an issue with the way that I stapled this set of documents. I've corrected the issue. Thanks. And if you can create a preponderance of these very petty complaints, very petty problems, then you can create a pattern of abuse and harassment. You can then blind CC your corporate HR office and say that this colleague is a little bit is pestering me, is harassing me. I feel harassed. And if you have a preponderance of evidence to support that claim, then you are in a good position. And you're even in a better position if this person isn't in a station that's above you significantly. If they're just a basic manager, you know, they get caught up in HR complaints all the time and they don't jeopardize the person who is complaining. You run into that when you get into, your C levels, your upper management levels, your VPs. But with the lower level management, you can definitely create a file on them and report them without having too much fear of your job being placed in jeopardy. This is And the source of this is from numerous conversations I've had with HR professionals.
I know we've had a lot of folks who've dealt with people that are on their same level. These are not managers or supervisors. These are not their superiors that are coming in to check on them and ask questions and spying on their daily activities, where that might be a great suggestion. Are there other folks that we haven't heard from who have a hand up?
Yes, sir. You heard
it? Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus, all the listeners that call us. It's been a while since I checked in, so I have a lot to report. One of the things that came up was non-white Hispanic male came up to me, and he told me that a white male addressed to him that he believed that that I'm racist because I don't talk to white people. And he was like, he told me, well, he didn't. Yeah, he told me that the guy said to let me know that he checked his family history, and he has some Egyptian bloodline or something like that. And he's like, just let him know I'm not white so he can say hi to me. I thought that was funny. Another issue that happened on the job was white male said if he had it his way, there would be no niggers and spicks working here. And he said this to another white male who went to report it. But he didn't report it immediately to upper management. He reported it to another employee, non-white Hispanic employee. And these two guys, they hang together all the time. And that guy told his brother, which also worked here. So the two Hispanic guys told a black male, and then all three of them apply pressure to this one white male to go to the office and tell whatever. So when he went to do that, he spoke with a union rep, and the union rep said, let's keep it in-house, sweep it under the rug. So they kept basically trying to keep it without a lot of people knowing what was going on. So they didn't want to fire the guy or whatever. So I guess the guy came back and he reported that to the three guys that he hang out with, like, hey, you know, they told me just shake his hand and it's over. And they told him, look, if you shake his hand, we're going to have a problem with you. So basically he went back up and he went to human resource this time and he told them what happened. And then when they called the guy back up, the guy was like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it in a different way. And they were like, well, you know, just shake his hand or whatever, trying to get the two guys to shake hands. And somehow, some way, the guy who said all this stuff lied on a union rep in the midst of all this. And then when that happened, the union rep came back with a statement of everything that he said, took it to human resource, and the guy got suspended, not fired, got suspended for 3 days, not even a week, 3 days. He came back with a totally different haircut. This guy had long, like a mullet cut for like, I've been working here for 5 years. He had a mullet cut for like 5 years. Came back with a different haircut, shaved everything. So I guess he's trying to be low profile, if that makes sense. But we all know that he's back. And yeah, they didn't do anything. It's just typical stuff on a plantation. And then also, I started my log journey. So I'm about a month in. So when I ride past a specific area to drop off parts, I hear them singing the tunes from The Lion King, the In the Jungle, they're singing that. So the one day that the guy, he started to sing it and I'm driving past, I look dead in his eyes and I gave him a really aggressive, what's up? And then he's like, oh, hey, like that. And then they stopped for like 2 days and then they just went to like doing like weird noises after that. But I just try not to let it bother me. It does get to me because I am human, but I try not to get emotionally involved because I understand that it's more than just this. It's a worldwide thing. So in order to be a counterproductive soldier, I have to function in a better manner. That makes sense. And I'll mute.
I think you meant counter-racist soldier, not counterproductive, but absolutely counter-racist soldier. Wow, That is a brand new one for me. Racists humming Lion King tunes. And you felt they were doing this deliberately as an act of racism towards you, yes?
Yeah, like every time I drive by, I noticed that they would sing that song. And I think I reported before, maybe some months ago, when I used to drive by a specific area, they used to make a crow noise. But this is like a different group of people. So,
wow. Coordinate, white people are not ignorant about racism. I cannot emphasize that enough. To me, it's just, it's flagrant. It's obvious. It's every day. You said this is a different group of people. So they start out and it's the same thing, though. We are going to make sure that we communicate. We have a form of nonverbal communication. We're just making sounds. We can even sing songs to communicate. Oh, the presence of the Negro. Look at the Negro. That is a man. The Lion King. Come on. That's... you did say that you started your workplace journal. You've been doing it a month. Did you say that? Yes.
I'm sorry, guys. What was that?
Did you say you started a workplace, journal, for about a month or so? Did I hear that correctly?
No, that was I'm starting to grow a lot.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that's one of the reasons why they're making the jokes and stuff like that.
I got it. I thought he said workplace journal. He said Locke's journey. Got it. Okay. Yeah, I would expect exactly. That's what you're going to be in store for. I've experienced that personally, and I think a good number of folks have talked about that. Yeah, you can just prepare for whatever response you want to give for that sort of thing on the job. And I would document that too if they're making tacky comments about your hair as you go through. The process. I thought that first anecdote was pretty serious. The one where you said, I guess someone accused you of being a racist, that you didn't speak to white people and they did their, I guess, whatever check on their ancestry and they had Egyptian ancestry. That sort of thing I take serious. Like somebody accusing me of being a racist. Like that's, substantial. That's not anything I would play with. A white person, they would not, take that sort of thing. It's just laugh, ha ha. He said I was racist, like that sort of thing. I would not joke with. That would just be my general. I don't even call, I encourage non-white people to not call white people racist on the job. So that sort of thing, particularly if they're suggesting that you're racist against white people. I would take that very, very seriously in a workplace setting.
The reason why he said it because he said that he noticed that I speak to Hispanics and black people, but I mean honestly that's just my point. I don't want to interact with people who I automatically know has some intention to do some type of harm to me. There are a few people that I do speak to that aren't white, but for the most part I just either say to myself or I talk to people who I know, like I have constructive conversations with, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. That it makes absolute sense. Seems like your line isn't the clearest, but I did hear you. That makes sense. I just, in my view, and I thought even when you were sharing that incident, I suspected that it wasn't true. I don't suspect that a non-white person or a black person, period, could keep a job in this area of the world if they were, daily shunning whites at work. I don't think that would last too long. So I didn't think it was true. But just more, at least for me, equally important, anytime that you as a black person, anyway, I wouldn't care if it's a black person, someone, it's the complexion of Lupita Nyong'o was. So even if they were joking saying that you're racist against white people, ha ha, because of whatever, you don't eat the food that they bring in or, you don't say God bless you when they or whatever. That sort of thing I would not let slide easily in a workplace. The same way that white people behave. White people would not allow people to just go. And from my experience, I've seen this. They do not allow you to just go around in a work environment and willy-nilly accuse white people of being racist, regardless of what they have done. And I would behave in the same way. We're not just going to throw accusations around that I am racist against anybody. Like, whoa, that is real, real serious to Gus. Folks have any commentary on that? We want to move on to the next person. Any commentary?
Yeah, regarding this call, I just wanted to say, document everything. Dates, times, context, everything written in quick notes, preferably in an app on your phones, or if you have a notepad that you can keep in your pocket, something that's quickly accessible, something that looks inconspicuous while you're using it, and jot notes down in real time while you still remember what was said, who said what time it was. If you can create a preponderance of these records, these can be used as evidence to back up any claims that you need to make about this conduct at a later time. Thank you.
Great points, great points. Any other suggestions for the caller who just dialed in to share? He had quite a few different, I guess, vignettes. Folks satisfied? I don't. Other commentary, folks we have not heard from at all. You had counter-racist suggestions or your own incident you wanted to share, feel free.
Can I be heard?
We have heard from you, Mr. Steele. We will get your personal incident, but I think there are some folks we haven't actually heard from at all. Let me see if we can nab any of those first. Any of the folks that we have not heard from at all, do you have commentary?
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everybody. I was just giving a week update. I'm the postal worker from, I guess, 2 weeks ago I had an issue. But so far, everything has been going okay. I only caught, like, the tail end of the clip earlier about sexual harassment in Bill O'Reilly. I think that's what it was about. And I experience sexual harassment every day, but not from my white coworkers, but from my non-white male coworkers. And it's really awkward because I don't really know how to... I mean, I've addressed it because I'm a veteran of the Army, so I know... I mean, we used to get sexual harassment courses all the time, but I haven't had a sexual harassment course or since, like, I've been working here, and it's been about almost a year. And but it's just really awkward. But I have asked my coworker to stop, just the little pet names like baby girl or baby. And then he does this thing where when he's around a lot of males and I come up, he doesn't touch my hand. But it's just awkward. And it's just not him. I think it's just a nature of the post office that I don't know because I haven't worked here that long. But they're just very adamant about it. They're not very receiving of me asking them to not do it. I actually got into a verbal argument about 3 months ago with a gentleman, and it was really bad because he like insinuated that I was some kind of behavior, some kind of tacky behavior that he thought I was doing, just based off me being a young black female. And I think that's kind of the problem. I'm like the youngest female in there, so that's kind of why they do me that way. But I don't know. But okay. Well, thank you for listening. That's all I had to say for this week. Thank you.
I am so sorry that you have had to deal with that. As I stated at the beginning of the program, after the Bill O'Reilly clip, we've had so many listeners dial in, excuse me, over the years who have, you know, addressed with this exact same problem. You said these were non-white males who have been sexually harassing you on your job, and you've raised the issue with them before, and even apparently it ended up being conflict in at least one instance. At this point, anybody that you've asked nicely, you tried, you know, out of black self-respect and out of respect for yourself to say this is not acceptable for me to, you know, just to continue to endure this sort of abuse every day, to be sexually molested by you. Let's, you know, cut this out immediately. If they're not going to stop, I would say, hey, I'm going to have to go and talk to white people. If you don't want to say it in that way, you can say, I'm going to have to go, you know, to management about this or whatever the case. But this is not acceptable. We can try to resolve this where it's just between us. I don't want to go and, you know, feel like I'm quote unquote snitching or anything like that. I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble, but this is not acceptable. And if we can't resolve it between us, I'm going to have to go and get help to remedy the situation.
Right. Excuse me. I have one more thing to add. It's kind of like the nature there. The females are very, like when I used to work in another area, they would bring like the males food and they would give them hugs. As like when they would come to work, everybody would greet each other with hugs. And to me, that's kind of awkward because I'm not from that background. But it seems like when you, I just don't want to, because yesterday we had a potluck and I intentionally, I was like, I already ate and I just wanted to go get on with my work day. And I feel like today I got invited to a retiree's dinner and I feel like I'm kind of just giving them a bad vibe. They're like very cliquish in this working environment. It's very small and they're like really cliquish. So I don't want to like make any problems for myself. Because I feel like that's where I'm going, kind of, with these people. But I don't know. Yeah.
To me, that sounded like a slightly separate issue. And I think that's another one that we've also had to address a lot as well in terms of, you know, you being considered either distant or aloof because you don't come in and high five everybody and talk about, you know, your family and have photos of, you know, 8 generations of, you know, your kinfolk and that sort of thing and go out for dinner with everybody. Some of this is just picking out a code that's going to work for the particular job and who you are, what your personality is, what your strengths are, that sort of thing. Some people we've said, hey, I can get a code where if it's a dinner type thing, we can do dinner maybe once or lunch, whatever it is, maybe once a month if they do a lunch thing. If they do a potluck, I don't know how often it is, if it's a once a month thing or every week or whenever it is. Maybe I'll do one a month for the potluck. I'll go, I'll hang out, I'll get a plate. And even with that, I would encourage, you know, just get a little bit of food on your plate and I wouldn't eat it. Just have it that way you're there and boom. Even if you want to do that, it's kind of one of those things where you just have to pick what you can do. I know some people have said they have that concern about being labeled aloof or losing their job where the white people just say, oh, you're distant. I think their phrasing would be you're not a good fit. There are ways I think that can be mitigated where you still are largely sticking to your code in terms of if you don't want to participate in the lunches, that sort of thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. That makes sense to me. Yes. I just started using a code, so I'm still kind of, trying to figure it out. But, yeah, that makes sense to me. We usually do a potluck once a month, so I could go, like, every other month and just show up and, I guess, be courteous so I don't come off as – I mean, because I wanted to make a connection with these people at first, and then I realized it's not the kind of connection that I want. Like I don't want to hug people in the morning when I get to work, and I don't want to be touched inappropriately, so I can't deal with that. So I just decided to just not have any kind of connection with anyone, just to avoid anybody feeling like I favor one person over the other. So, But thank you for your suggestion, guys. Thank you.
For sure, for sure. I'm still a fan of not eating if you go to the pot, even if you do like once every other month or whatever it is, of not eating. You can just go and hang out, find a few folks, you know, you all can chat for whatever. I'm a big fan of, for those type of settings where it's required, you make an appearance, you're seen, you get out. You go back to work. That I found can do a lot to mitigate those type of accusations. Any other suggestions on how you deal with either end of this? Did I hear someone?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm sorry, young lady, that you're going through all this. I guess when it comes to the food, I was just told I'm on a diet or something. I'm on a diet. I'm trying out some new healthy things this summer. I got to lose. I mean, I don't know if you have to lose weight, maintain your figure, blah, 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 crap like that. In terms of the touching, you just have to, sometimes you have to be forceful, you know. I don't appreciate you touching me. And that's it. And I can't, I don't know if I would say I have to report you to the white people, because then they might accuse you of being racist or something, but that you do have to let management know that this is not tolerated. You know, I know we work for the post office, and this is a government institution, and our president is our president, but I don't go like that. That's what he does. You are not him. You cannot do what he does. Y'all not the same people.
Amen. Any other suggestions on the sexual harassment portion?
Hi, Gus.
Oh, hey, there's Stacy from the UK. I thought she was with us earlier, but she is here now. Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Okay, because I was confused, so I didn't realize you could tell I was logged in. Okay. Can I just ask a question? Did the postal workers say the person who was harassing her was a black male?
No, I'm white.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, he's non-white. Yes, he's a black male.
Yeah, I would cut it off early. And I mean, I've been in a similar situation, and because I got on, I thought I got on well with this particular individual, but there was a sort of culture in the organisation where that kind of what they call in the UK laddish behaviour used to go on. And I think out of my own sense of loyalty to my community, I didn't want to lodge a complaint, but people take it too far. And I would, however you do it, whether it's just to get extra serious and not smile and joke around, or, and I'm not, again, not saying that that's your fault, but when I didn't cut it off, the person got just really familiar, and it was annoying me for a long time. And I used to try and almost put the person down by cracking jokes back. And then one day something was said to me, which I was so stunned by, and it was in front of a white male co-worker. And from there, I just had this white man thinking that he could come up and be really inappropriate with me as well. And in the end, I just thought, right, it's gone too far. And I literally just kept it real businesslike. And I kind of regretted not cutting him off and being very, very businesslike a lot earlier. Because otherwise other people think they can come and, you know, just take liberties with you. And I just genuinely didn't want to make another black person lose their job, which is the only reason why I didn't go as far as lodging a complaint. But, you know, at the same time, I regretted not just cutting him off real early. Yeah, so that's my response to that one. I do have a query for the person who was talking about the recording, but that's my response on that one anyway. I would just cut it off early.
Other comment, other suggestions, rather, for the sexual harassment portion? It was the sexual harassment piece, and then the potlucks, I guess maybe being accused of being aloof. Any suggestions for that as well? Right on. I would just echo what we heard from Stacy in the UK. Even if it's another black person, and I can understand not wanting to see a black person get fired, but I think Dr. Welsing would co-sign on black self-respect being, I am not going to allow anyone to mistreat me, even another black person. And definitely, you do not have to say that white people, you know, I'm going to go get white people involved. You definitely do not have to say that. But as Stacy just said, I'd make it very businesslike and very obvious that this is not going to be acceptable, and I will have to go let other people know to help resolve this matter immediately if we can't resolve it between us. And the importance being other people can see that too. Even if, you know, you all think this is private, a lot of times other people end up observing that and just saying, oh, yeah, I can get in on this, too. And that's what I've seen, particularly with any sort of touching. It just gets worse. It gets worse and worse and worse if you do not cut it off immediately. And even worse, meaning expanding to where other people are participating in this. And I'm, again, I emphasize, really get that jerk away move. As soon as someone puts a hand on you, you immediately snatch away. Whoa, I do not accept, I do not tolerate any form of touching in the workplace, or however you want to word it. But I mean, it should be an immediate snatch away. And this is something you can practice. I'm serious about that. And I've talked to other victims. I think Emma, she's talked about that. Just practice whatever you need to do. If you see that they're hugging you or touching you, whatever it is, where that way you can get practice it. And then you already know, this is what I'm going to say anytime someone puts their hand on me in that sort of way. This is what it is. And I found when you do that and just make it that explicit, That can solve things in a much more efficient manner. Other folks that we have not heard from at all. Line should be open, I guess, for people who dialed in more recently. Other folks that we have not heard from at all.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, I've been talking to you guys about the lady that kept hugging me at work. And this past week, we had job evaluations, and like up until we were having the evaluations, everybody kept saying, oh, you never come hang out with us, you never come hang out with us. And on my evaluation, I got really high marks and everything, but they told me that I needed to start being more social with my coworkers because they don't feel like I'm a part of the team, and I really don't know where to go with that.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have cut me off because I forgot to put my mute button on before. I could be wrong, but that may not be an idle threat. That may not be an idle threat for anything. It's just one of those little sneaky little complaints that white people have all the time, that sort of thing. They think that because some of us are sociable, that we just can't get enough of them. And I would stay strong with what you're doing. Apparently you're doing something right. I would consider that a compliment. By them stating that you don't want to be around them, that sort of thing. They probably have some kind of like a little snide smile on their face when they're saying it, if they are saying it in your presence. And also, as what has been said, to follow the rule book, if nothing against it in the rules, that's not, well, I look at it, it's not my problem. You know, keep on doing what you're doing. You are. You're getting all of your monies and everything. You're getting good evaluations, even getting good evaluation. But me, I didn't even care what kind of evaluation I had. Long didn't mess with my money. Long didn't mess with the money and whatever. They could put anything down on that paper. I was just talking to a associate of mine, and he reminded me through conversation of one of the greatest compliments I had on that job on the fire department when a white coworker said, you know, I don't know if I can trust, I was just saying on this show, I don't know if I can trust a retired firefighter. You know, that's a compliment the way I look at it, you know, the way I looked at it in that light, you know, under the context of racist white supremacy. I mean, I wouldn't worry about it. That basically is my comment on that report on that. Just be comfortable in what you're doing, and sounds like to me, keep doing what you're doing.
You don't have concerns that they might at some point try to use this to say, well, hey, you know, you've been doing great work, but you're just not socializing, because a lot of times black people say this ends up being something that can lead to them having problems on the job. You don't think this could cause her any difficulties down the road?
It's possible. It's possible. But then again, it's by you being what the hell they mean by being sociable. I mean, what does that? They haven't really thoroughly defined that. You know, do I go you start giving me drinks and whatever stuff, and I gotta dance in front of y'all and all that kind of, you know, they haven't really defined that on what that means, and I don't think nobody can thoroughly define that. Being more sociable, you know, what does that mean? That would be my question to them. I say hello. Well, I say morning. You know, hello sounds like a little bit too nice for me. You know, I'm just saying for me. I would say probably say morning if they say morning to me, and go on about my business. You know, as far as they're concerned, get the work done. You know, and so that question may come up, but like I said, my question would be, well, define what you mean by social. Being more quote unquote more sociable. They probably have a problem with that answer. They probably have a problem with it.
Always an advocate of asking questions. Do we have any other folks who had any suggestions or thoughts? Our black female caller, she was just telling us she had her evaluation and this coming up about maybe her not being social enough with her white colleagues.
Hello.
Hi, Gus.
I heard both of you. I guess we'll get Stacy in the UK, and then we'll get the other female. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi. If it's come up in a performance review, then it is a problem because they've made it a problem. That's a formal setting. It would be worth clarifying that, but clearly they're making it an issue. And I've had it done again, like most people in this school, probably in different ways. It's never come up in a form in a review of my performance, but I've had managers say it to me and things like that. Now, it depends on how much you can tolerate and whether or not you are prepared to be persistent and hold your ground until they get bored, in inverted commas. I used to go out after work, or, you know, every now and then, not on a regular basis. And then I pulled back, and it has been made an issue. And in fact, you know, recently there was a team event, and my boss did send in several emails and a diary invite wanting us to, in other words, instructing me in a sly way about going after work, and I didn't go because I, you know, changed my mode of behavior. So it depends on how persistent you can be, but you might want to just decide to go out once in a while if it's going to be something that makes you feel anxious as well. But yeah, it's either holding your own and ignoring them, but, you know, as I said, it's different because it's obviously been raised in a end of year review, and I would go back and clarify, you know, what is the issue here, and what, you know, as has been said, is this a, or define what social is if you are anxious about it. But that's all I had to say on that.
Appreciate that. The other female caller.
Thank you.
I agree with all the suggestions, but I will also, in addition to asking questions, I would say, well, how will being social affect my productivity? You know, you've given me these good evaluations, and I don't want to waste, you know, just, I don't want to waste the company's time. I think it's the best use of the company's time for me to work on my task. And then, you know, when the time is over, when my, you know, work day is over, I have previous commitments already that I have to attend to. Because, you know, you don't have to say you don't want to hang with them, they're crazy. You want to do what you do while you're there. You know, you don't want to waste the company time. You're doing your best to be an asset to the organization. That's what you hired me to do. And after work, I have previous commitments. I mean, that's it, which is true. I don't care if it's just to go home and watch reruns of Housewives of Atlanta. You have a previous commitment.
Thank you for
can
that.
Can I be heard? Can I be heard? Can I be heard?
I can hear you. I don't know if Gus is on.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
And I can hear you also.
Okay. All right, everyone. Good evening. This is Jay from New York. Just wanted to chime in real quick. I do agree with everyone. What I would like to add on, if it's a biannual or an annual review, any type of activity that they list on that review that needs to be worked on, they have to attach it back to your job description. So if they're telling you that it's relating to you being more social, I would kind of go right back to, as Mr. Fuller says, asking questions and put it right back to, I went back to my job description, and if there's a way that you can kind of tie this back to the job description and really kind of draw a parallel and then kind of point out some direct steps as to how that would work, that would be great, because you're keeping it right and consistent with your job description. Because if they're doing a review, it has to tie back to that job description. And they may use that for promotion purposes if you're trying to get into management and things of that nature. So that social part is one of those, I call them that gray area where they technically, it's probably not in the job description, but if you have them listed out, the manager kind of list out what those actions look like in terms of being more social, then, you know, it's something that you can have more dialogue about. But that's a very open area, and they can't hold you accountable to it, especially on an annual or biannual review, if it's not something that can't be tied back to the job description. So just another piece that may be able to help out.
We got disconnected, or I got dropped briefly, but we dialed back a while ago. Other suggestions for a female caller who I guess they were told she was told she wasn't social enough. Right on. We'll make sure to include all the folks who wrote in, because people have written in since the program went live. This person, I think this is a black male. He said, I work in the construction field as an engineer, so it's an open and relaxed environment. I'm the only black person on this job. I have two racist encounters I would like to share to get some suggestions on how to counter. Number one, upon taking this job, a white laborer coworker, whom I just met for the first time, shook my hand and began to list his two requests when working with him. First was to get a towel and wipe his sweat from his face, and second, bring him a bottle of water. My immediate response was that I laughed because he caught me off guard, but inside I wanted to throw him off the bridge we were working on so he can get all the water he needs. Number two, a load of steel was delivered yesterday, and when me, along with two white males, finished unloading the truck, the supervisor then came up to me and said that the steel is heavier than it looks. I said, yes, it is, because of the thickness of the piece of steel. He then said to me, yeah, it would take two men and a boy to lift it. He laughed and proceeded to walk away grinning. I now concluded that this is no longer a racist suspect, but a confirmed racist. Any suggestions will be great. Thanks, by the way, would like to remain anonymous. Right on. So I guess it's working in a construction, I guess this is something we talked about before, working in a construction environment where white people are making these sort of racist comments and demeaning, you know, job description, that type of thing all day long. I guess suggestions on how to deal with this without getting upset. Losing your cool, that's something we talk about all the time. The whole point of counter racism is to, you know, not lose your temper, to stay in control of your emotions, to be able to successfully or really to expect these things, and you already have an idea about how you want to try to respond to these sort of things. So I guess number one would be to make sure, you know, you really focus on, I'm not going to lose my cool. I'm sure that's why this racist or these racists are doing these things, making these type of comments and what have you, to get you to get angry, probably so they can fire you. It's been my experience a lot of times, a lot of these construction jobs, they can pay very well, particularly if you can get on something where you're full time or you stay with a company, you can make really good money. So it's probably he's trying to get you fired so he can hire his white nephews or whatever. I mean, the construction, that is like just straight grimy gangster racism industry, and well known for this for decades. So I would say, number one, I'm not losing my cool. I signed up for the job, and this is the sort of thing that you might have to deal with on any job, particularly construction. So I would just try to figure out, number one, I'm not going to lose my cool. Do I want to say something in terms of just asking about him making these sort of comments? Are there questions that I can ask? Is this the sort of thing I even need to respond to? I know that can be, you know, difficult for some people, and for some people that just, you know, is insufferable. But if, you know, he's just going to make these sort of tacky jokes and what have you, and whatever else he does, singing Lion King or what have you, some of the stuff you don't even have to respond to. I mean, you just, he's just confirming again, oh yes, race soldier. Yes, I know that. And I'm just going about my day to do my job and get through things. That could be one way that you go at it. Construction business, I know you're going to have a lot fewer resources to stop that sort of behavior. I think the notorious business, the construction business is notorious for that sort of crude behavior. Folks have any suggestions?
I would basically ignore the person, but at the same time, would record it down on paper, or you know, in a diary or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. And if the subject matter comes up, you know, something like someone of authority on the job back at the office states, "So, will you have any concerns?" You know, something like that. It may be a apt time to utilize that logbook of yours that you keep. You know, and just basically say, "Well, you know, it can make the job, the profession, a lot better if these type of things weren't illustrated out in the workplace." And you know, at such a date, this was said, and such a date that was said, and that was done. That sort of thing, like that. Just keep rattling it off down the line, you know, in a professional manner. You know, because on a job, that's bound to come up, that someone that's in a position of authority would come and ask an employee, you know, if anything could be done better, you know, or something of that nature. That would be that from what I've heard, that would be the remedy that I would apply. That's it.
Any other suggestions? Black male construction worker having these racist colleagues, supervisors even, that he's working with? Yeah, that construction industry is a tough one. If I think of any, because I know we do have other black construction workers who've listened and even called into the program and even took photos of some of the exact same type of behavior and swastikas and Trump this and, you know, nigger this and blah, blah, blah. Same exact type of crude behavior. And I think even with them, I think they did raise some questions to try to stop some of that behavior on the job. Exactly what retired firefighter just laid out. Is this the best way to operate a work environment? Is this the best way for us to relate to each other on the job type of thing? And it did seem to have a constructive impact on the job where, you know, he was not directly retaliated against, at least at the time that we know of. And it stopped, I think, some of them, or it mitigated it to some level. So that might be a route to pursue. Before it gets too late, or if we have any tech issues, Stacy, are you still with us in the UK?
I am.
Wonderful. Did you want to update us, since you have stayed up super late over there? It's technically already Friday for you with your workplace situation.
Yeah, I mean, for the service asleep and I woke up as usual. I don't have an update on the situation that I've spoken about before in terms of this junior member of staff making a complaint that isn't a complaint. Although I'm sure they're, you know, sometimes you can observe movement in the office and I'm sure they're conspiring as per usual. So I'm sure there will be an update in in a future call or broadcast. But what I did want to talk about, and it's something that other callers have raised in the past, just about people asking you to do things that are likely to get you the sack or as a minimum or in front of law enforcement at some point. So the organisation I work for, we operate on a financial year, so from April to March. And every year we will get a budget allocated, which we have to obviously have sign off of that budget every year. Now, when you get to the end of the financial year, if you haven't spent that budget, it's not automatic that you can take it forward into the next financial year. You have to get approval. And one of the projects that I was managing, there's a supplier who's delivering a service for the organisation. And I had for example, the budget was 50,000. They were only able to spend 30,000 or rather deliver work to the value of 30,000. So that left a balance of 20,000 that I wanted to get approval to carry forward into this financial year as of the 1st of April. And the 30,000, obviously, they'd been able to complete the work to that value. And so there would be a corresponding invoice coming in for £30,000. Now, my manager likes to undermine me in all kinds of ways. And what she'd done is she had decided to tell the finance person on my behalf that to approve on the system that at some point we received £50,000 worth of work. Now, I was due to go on holiday, but because I was waiting for the vendor to confirm how much work they had been able to complete, I didn't notify the finance person that was the amount of work that had been delivered. So when I was working from home, checked on the system, my email, and saw that she had asked them to register on the system £50,000 worth of work. So I emailed and I said, why have you done that? That's not my request. So I requested that the finance person register 30,000 rather than 50, which means that you'd cancel out the 50,000 and just, you know, say it's 30,000, but you have to go through a process to do that. And I'd also said, and here is the form requesting approval to carry forward into the next year, £20,000. And this was part of a larger request. So in fact, it was a much larger sum of money that I was requesting to take forward from other budgets not spent. She then said no, we didn't need to do that. We'd get the balance credited if the corresponding invoice that was received was for a lower amount. So last week, So I went on holiday, came back, and I emailed her and I said, what happened with this? Did you, was the process reversed? Did you put forward my request for the budget carry forward, et cetera, et cetera? So she said, no, we didn't. We decided not to do it. And I left it at that because as far as I was concerned, right, there's an audit trail on this. Plus, you know, here's another example of this person undermining me and my job. Last week we had a catch up and she requested that I ask the supplier to put in an invoice for the additional 20,000, knowing full well that supplier has not done the work and that there's not an automatic carry forward of that budget, and that the supply would effectively have to do the work this year, in this financial year, for money that they've been paid. And we're not allowed to just give money for work that's not carried forward, not approved. So I spoke to finance accountant, not our immediate accountant, because then that's a really, you know, I've already made it formal. But it's our old accountant who I can have a conversation with without, you know, raising it as an issue formally. And, you know, he said, no way. That is not what you do. And I said, okay, that's fine. He asked if it was verbal or it was by email. So I said, no, it was verbal. So I said, don't raise it yet. I just wanted to check my facts, and I knew I was correct. But I just wanted to check my facts. And so as of today, I have sent her an email. I've already checked our financial procedures. I can see no justification for what she's asked me to do. If she has found a deviation to the policy, can she point me in the direction of the guidance? Now, what I suspect is because she does live near this particular vendor, and she did say that they see each other from time to time because they both have young children, that she's obviously demonstrating her authority and showing off that she can, you know, she's in charge of this negress, so she'll make it right. But she has no authority to do it. And she knew, you know, in that conversation, she said, oh, well, you know, if the auditors pick it up, we'll obviously have to, it'll get bounced back to us. But, you know, let's just put it through. And it's just, you know, being very careful about what people ask you to do and how far people go. She knows better. She overstepped my authority on the project by telling our finance person to put in, you know, register on the system for their larger amount. So there's no reason why she shouldn't continue to overstep my authority on the project and not request the invoice herself. There's absolutely no way I'm doing it. And, I've been in a position where projects have been investigated, and it will go as far as involving the police. So it's that serious. And I have been in that position before, and obviously not through my own misdemeanors, but, you know, it gets that serious. And it's not a pleasant place to be in when, even though you've come to work, you've done your job, you've been really conscientious. The fact is, when they bring in the police, you, regardless of whether anybody says you're under suspicion or not, you are, until you've been proven innocent. But yeah, that's my workplace terrorism for the week.
Wow. We have had, this is lots of patterns. That is one thing I can definitely say. You could do this with any area of racism, white supremacy, any of the areas of people activity. But I would definitely say with workplace racism, I think you will learn a lot just observing the similarities and the repetition in terms of how many times you see the same types of racist behavior where whites try to go on a job and get black people to do things that they know are the type of things that will get you fired, maybe even arrested. They'll try and get you to do these things. I think Jamie in D.C. had one where a white woman tried to get her to do almost identical, to get her to fill out an invoice ahead of time for a white vendor that she liked. And I think this was for like thousands of dollars. I think it might have been like $10,000 or more that she was trying to get her to do the same thing. And they said the same thing, that's fraud. We don't, you know, that's not something that we're supposed to do. But this white woman was trying to get the black employee to do it. Oh, I'll go over here, get this black female to do it, and then I can hook up my friend if he gets his, you know, thousands in advance. Great. And then if there's trouble, I don't get in trouble. The black female gets in trouble. And she did the smart thing. Just stick to your policy and procedure. And if it's any questions, I have a question about this. I'm going to go check in with Susan, whoever your, you know, manager, supervisor. Just, I'm going to go check in with Susan. That's why I say the importance of knowing policy and procedure, because a lot of times white people, they will encourage you to do things that are in violation of policy and procedure on the job, And then you will be the one to get in trouble for it. Worldwide racist behavior. Other folks have, I guess, either strategies, suggestions, or if you had your own incident you wanted to share. If we haven't heard from you, you should speak now. Anybody that we missed completely who has a hand up?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Greetings to you, the hosts, the callers, and the listeners. I wanted to talk about two industries that I'm in, working in. So I work in music industry at whatever level, and I work in the real estate industry. Well, with real estate, it affects my job, what happened. So what ended up happening was my mother and my father, they had a house when, you know, right before I was born. They bought the house right next to my grandmother's house. And grandma bought her house out in Ohio. And, it was a nice big, her house was really big. It was nice. Our house was smaller, but it was nice. Anyway, we left the city. Years passed. It was still our house. We can always come back. Well, close to, I don't know if it was 2012 or 2011. Anyway, they took our house. The city took our house. It was actually the high school that my grandmother taught for. Took her house and took our house. And I think you call that eminent domain. And they took the house and built a track where our house was. And so now, you know, that could have been eventually passed down to me and my family, my siblings or whatever. But so now we have to go and find another house to purchase it. And then so I'm in real estate agency, and I wouldn't have to go through all this extra stuff of trying to get my foundation set if it wasn't taken from me. I thought we owned land in the first place. But, you know, obviously we don't in the system. And my grandmother fought that, and she ended up dying very shortly afterwards. And I blame them. I blame them for that. She died shortly after that, and that was the first close death that I had experienced. And that hurts. I don't appreciate that. And the other thing is music. So I'm a musician, and my father taught all of my siblings music because he's a musician. He taught us all like the piano and another instrument. And I come from a family who is a family of musicians, and a few of my family members are performing artists, have made it to some level of success. Well, growing up, I knew that was a possibility, but like me and my siblings didn't want to do it because we heard of all this Illuminati stuff. We heard of all this other white people, well, you can call it anything, you know, but they have a bunch of names, but it's white people terrorizing black people, killing black people. All of our stars are getting murdered, you know, and it's, you know, every single year they're getting murdered, and it's frightening. So I didn't pursue as much as I could have. Didn't pursue music like I could have, you know, just out of fear that white people will eventually kill me. Or they'll kill my siblings, or they'll kill somebody in my family. And so I attempt to be counter-racist anyway in my music and in everything that I do. And so I would say that's my ultimate job is counter-racism. And in my counter-racism, even listening back to the Cows radio, that's part of my job as I've taken on, is just to listen to all constructive information I can possibly listen to so that I can solve this problem of white people and that we can finally end this war. And so I've listened to countless hours and hours and, you know, I don't know how much time worth of information I thought might be useful. Well, anyway, one of the clips that I heard from the Cows radio, Mr. Gus was saying, you know, this is his job, you know, to counter racism. And, you know, I feel the same way. This is my job. And I feel that, you know, we all should take that full responsibility, that full-time job, and be very serious about it. And we don't get off the job until it's absolutely done, until there's no more white people terrorizing us. And then so what I was going to say with my attempts in music to counter racism was I'm a church musician. And it's almost, I think, oxymoronic to try to counter racism as a church musician inside the church, maybe, because the church itself, in my opinion, the whole institution is a racist institution if you just look at the history. You know, just look at the history, or even just read the Bible. If you actually read it, you can kind of see what I'm talking about. But anyway, so, I make attempts to play music that I think might encourage people to fight back, but it hasn't been effective, and I can't see it being effective using the Christian music. But, I've tried stuff like, I'll play songs like, I went to the enemy's camp to take back what he stole from me. I played things like, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to die. We have to hold up the blood-stained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. I play stuff like that. But again, if you listen to the rest of the words of those songs, it goes back to a very confusing ideology of Christianity. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it just goes back to a very, very confusing ideology. So I don't think I can use that. So I started playing songs like Chase Those Crazy Ball Heads Out of Town and Why Are You Running Away, that, Bob Marley song. And I would play that at mega churches, or at least a particular mega church that I was at, but few people even know what the heck I'm talking about. There'll be somebody way back there in the crowd, I can see him nodding like, okay, yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. But, nobody else really knows what in the world I'm talking about. Well, I'll play Blood on the Leaves at a smaller church. I played that. But so what? It didn't solve the problem. So what I decided is I'm going to write my own music, and I'm going to put it very explicitly in the music. And, to everybody who's in music, absolutely do this. Put all your energy into stopping this system, stopping white people from killing us, because that's what they're doing. Thank you.
I don't know.
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings out of college. My name is Jerry from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the best thing that I have found was to be upfront and brash. Not necessarily mean per se, as far as being loud and touchy, but whenever there's a question asked of me, I answer it in a counter-racist way. Actually, until I started listening to this show, I never knew that's what I was doing. That was just my short little time on this earth. I've tried to be nice, tried to get along, but the most effective way is to be upfront and brash. I've worked on a construction crew before, like one of the callers before, and when questions get asked of me, I don't shy away from them. I answer the question as a young black man. So once they get this idea, instead of me having to overlook them, they shy away from me. Conversations that they're having, they kind of just get away, especially when you have any type of knowledge and you know what you're speaking of. They have no comeback for that, so they make room for you. Working inside of factories, same deal, whether you're dealing with a coworker or a superior. When they ask you questions, I answer them up front and brash, not being loud, as I stated earlier, just comfortable with myself. What tends to happen is when I'm going to the break room or just making my way throughout the work area, there tends to be a lane that opens up for me. And they're very careful about what they ask me from that point on after that first conversation. They tend to learn my facial expressions, And I know that when I'm feeling a certain type of way, they know I'm feeling a certain type of way. So they stay away from me at that particular time. So that's one of the things that I do personally. Another thing that I do to allude to what the caller was saying before me is that he knows that's not going to end it, but it does, because that you teaching other people those few little small techniques, they are something that they could gravitate to and use for themselves, and also pass that along to somebody else that they care about. And after this get passed on along, we won't have nobody shying away and having to go home and talk about this. I mean, you're going to go home and talk about it anyway, but you won't be so upset because you straighten it out at that particular time. So you don't have this so much stress, rather. You don't have so much stress sitting on your chest and on your shoulders because you... Because I know when I used to do that, I used to look down on myself. Why you didn't say this when it was going on, or why you didn't say that? You know, that's another a way that they put pressure on us, physical pressure with the stress, because we tend to question ourselves after we let them get away with something. So that's what I had to say. I appreciate you taking my call, Gus.
I appreciate that. Roz, I think quite a few other callers that we've had reminds me of retired firefighter. I think Mr. Edward Williams, in terms of just being very direct, as you stated, you know, not being rude, but just not a whole lot of pussyfooting. We're going to be direct, right to the point. I think the female caller, when she was saying just being all business about everything, I think a lot of black people have found that works well, and that many race soldiers will pick up on that energy, that signal in a workplace that, you know, this is one of the Negroes that we cannot rely on to be the entertainment committee. This is one we might have to keep an eye on. Seems like they're being pretty serious about what they came here to do. That's the way that I would encourage folks to function in a professional counter-racist capacity. Do we have other folks
add?
They did it again. See,
I'm sorry.
They do that. They'll say they're done, and then they come back just to trick Gus to get their interruption in.
I'm so sorry, Gus, but you just triggered something in my brain. There's something else that we do is that we try to hold on to some people who have already cut us loose. Whether we see another black person at the job, that we're trying to explain to them what's happening to them, and they refuse to listen to what we're saying. So, and that was it. I'm sorry about that.
For sure. And that's one, you know, hey, you have to, everybody, you know, united independence, so you pick how you want to function on the job. I've said consistently, I am very surprised and encouraged that so many people, you all do make an effort to go out and talk to black people on your job and to share constructive information with them. I think that is black self-respect. It's outstanding. I don't know if I'd be that courageous. I tend to try to let folks along in the workplace because I've just seen too many times where, you know, that can be rebuffed. They can end up going to tell on you and that sort of thing, that you just have to be very careful in work environments. But absolutely, you know, when you see folks have made their decision, they have their own view on things, and maybe they're not receptive to hearing information about racism, the job is not the place to, you know, obsess about trying to make sure that you win them over with your counter-racist concepts. Are there any folks that we have not heard from at all?
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Workplace racism. So I was at work yesterday, Thursday, Wednesday morning. I work at night at the hotel, so I'm in the back. I'm in the back doing what I do. It's closed from 11. It's closed on my shift. If you want to get your key made or whatever, we just put up this sign because they come up to the counter with just any random, anything, counseling, just anything random, just want to talk. It's just ridiculous. So what I started doing recently was I don't even come to the front desk if you walk to the front desk because I have the sign up there that says I'm closed. Then if you pick up the phone and call 0, like the sign says, I'll come out. But other than that, I'll just leave you standing at the desk. I don't know what you could want that time of night. So, Caucasian male, I'm looking at the camera, because the camera right there. So, Caucasian male, it's like 5 in the morning. Wow! And I really hate that. I don't understand anybody hollering that time of morning. You just pick up the phone, so I really will ignore you if you do that. That's just stupid to me. So, Wow! So I'm just looking at him in the camera. This bastard, this man hopped over the counter looking for me. So when I seen him hop over the counter, I'm like, I just walked up to the, walked to the door. Now, mind you, it doesn't close because there's so much junk locking the door. It should be able to lock it and use a key to get in where I am. But it doesn't, so I just usually pull it too. So it's just closed. It's just pushed too, but it's not actually locked. So I, as he's walking in to come and open the door to find me or whomever could be here, because I'm calling you and you're not answering, he's, oh, there you are. So I'm just looking at him very stern because I don't understand what gave you the okay to hop the desk. Looking for, what the hell, what's wrong with you? Well, he took his room key, threw it on the desk, and said, check it out, need a receipt. So I'm just looking at this man, I can't believe that you didn't hop the desk, and now you're going to hop back over to get on the other side for me to check you out of this room. So I'm just looking at this man, because I really don't understand, how did you feel that was okay to do that? So then he's like, well, the guy said somebody will be here, and somebody's here. Well, yeah, I was calling you and calling you, but you didn't check, no one said anything. I said, it's a phone right there. It's two phones before you even hit the desk. And then there's a phone at the desk before you even hop over the desk. Well, next time I know. There's no next time. There's no next time you know nothing. What you checking out early? Are you checking out early, right? So you need a refund. I'll do that later. Just here goes this piece of paper. This is your receipt that you go get. And the refund, you'll get it when I get around to it. You can give me an email address. I'll email it to you. Okay, cool. I'll write it down for you. So he wrote this crap down. I took it. Thank you. Don't say nothing to me. So I just gave him this awful look because I just didn't understand that. So when somebody came to relieve me, I told him about it because I was so mad because I don't understand. How do you do that? So apparently he had another reservation for either today, tomorrow, next week, something. So the manager or whomever is standing in as a manager, she must have mentioned his name or whatever. So the girl that I told about, she had told him what I just told you. And so she called the guy. She called the company where he works for because his company pays for his stay. And the people were just like, well, he can't just stay there. He has another reservation. And then she had said, no, this is what I heard last night. So this morning, the same person that made the call relieved me. So she was just telling me that when I called him, she's like, I didn't know anything about it until I saw his reservation. But she said, when I called his company, even the reservation line, they was like, well, what does she want, an apology? I mean, it's not like he wasn't going to hurt anybody or anything. He was just looking for her. She didn't answer. She's like, well, there's a phone to call. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, he didn't mean any harm or anything. He was probably late for work or something, so he wasn't going to hurt anybody. So you're saying he can't stay there? So she said, not only can he not stay here, he can't stay at any of our locations in the United States. He's on the do not rent list. Oh, that's extreme. He didn't even do anything. What does she want? I mean, does she need him to just say sorry or something? I just told her, I was like, he didn't ever call me and say sorry, because if you were sorry, you wouldn't have did it. But we would have concluded that during the transaction of your exit, so you're not sorry. So then the guy said, well, I'll be back next week anyway. So that's my workplace racism. And for the sexual harassment, because I had to kind of listen, because I missed some of the different talking and points and stuff, the conversations. So I couldn't chime in because it's like I'm lost, so I had to listen to some of the comments to kind of catch up.
But with the guys, the non-white guys sexually harassing you or whomever, oh, you got to shut that down real early, like real quick, real early, and just demand respect. You don't have to be, well, you have to do what you have to do, but you have to demand respect. You can't just, you have to, because they won't, because I don't tolerate any of that. That's anywhere, the evening event, none of that. You can't, there's no reason to touch me. There's no, all that extra hugging and no thank you. How you doing? That's just how I feel about the sexual harassment or the touching from the guys at work. And I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it. And thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. I did write that down, having a code about not answering the door or the window or whatever it is, the front desk. I think Emma, she had said that before, and some of our other non-white people who have worked where you have a front desk, if you work at a hotel or a concierge or anything of that nature, particularly if you work a late shift in the evenings or early morning hours, and having white people come in, they're intoxicated or they could be on drugs, all of the above, and coming in with their rude trifling antics, I think it's very important to have a code there that, you know, prioritizes your safety. And I mean, imagine that if you had been a white woman, any age, working behind a desk, and a black male comes in, or a female, and hops over the desk because you know, don't answer the little buzzer or phone line or whatever it is, and they hop over the desk like they're coming to look for the person. They're upset because you didn't respond quickly enough. Like, that could have been 40 shots, a taser. Like, oh, man, that could have gone bad all kinds of ways. And for them to respond, like, what do you mean? Like, I can't believe she's over responding this way. Like, what, she want an apology? Like, I can't believe she's offended. He just hopped the, why didn't you get up there quicker? He wouldn't have had, like, that is amazing all the way around. And yeah, I'm glad you, that everything about that is absolutely correct. And exactly, do not rent, you can't stay at any of them. Exactly. That's exactly the way it should be dealt with, because that's the way that they deal with us. And I mean, that should be totally unacceptable. I cannot imagine anyone who has any sort of overnight facility like that where they tolerate a person hopping the front desk because, you know, they don't get service. And I mean, that's ridiculous. Racist, excuse me. Act of racism, white supremacy. That's the way I would frame it. Unless we had folks who had commentary on that situation. Right on. I definitely appreciate with the sexual assault, not, you know, minimizing or trivializing that. Take it seriously. And again, shut that down immediately, getting whatever words you think need to be said and to get that problem solved ASAP. Other folks that we have not heard from at all. Any folks we've missed completely?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings to you, Gus, and to the other callers and listeners. Had a rough evening as a victim of racism, so just excuse me. I did have one workplace update and a workplace racism incident that took place yesterday with this terroristic bit of mayonnaise that called the job. She called me in reference to a bill she received where essentially, she owed over $1,000 to this doctor because she chose to see an out-of-network provider. And the company I work for is what's known as an exclusive provider organization, or for short, they call it an EPO. So in a company like that, if you have insurance with them, essentially, they only provide coverage for in-network services. So if you see an out-of-network provider, you will not be covered, and it'll be basically fully your responsibility out of pocket, and none of the payments that you make would go towards your deductible due to the fact that you saw someone out of the network. So this white lady goes to the doctor. She has some sort of a medical condition, and then they send her to the specialist. So she claims that she asked the specialist whether or not they were in the network, and the specialist told her yes. So she went to the doctor's office, and the doctor was not in the network. So I basically explained to her, I said, well, ultimately the doctor does not work for the insurance company. So they're not going to know who's in the network or out of the network. They usually recommend to a member whoever they have a good relationship with or who they think provides the best care. And that does not necessarily mean that they would be in the network. It's just who the doctor has a relationship with. So I explained to her, I said, well, ultimately, you know, it's really the member's responsibility to double check that a provider's in network, because just the way the Affordable Care Act is set up, it's really something where the people who use or are part of the Affordable Care Act, as far as being a patient with insurance that's under that jurisdiction, ultimately you just have to be highly educated about how the system works just to make sure that you don't end up in a situation like that. So she got really angry, and because she was like, what can you do for me? I said, there's nothing we can do. You saw an out-of-network provider. That bill belongs to you. The company is not going to pay it. So ultimately, I had to go in circles with her at least about three times explaining to her that it was her responsibility to double-check the in-network status of the doctor. So at one point, she actually had the nerve to tell me, please stop talking. I said, no, I'm not going to stop talking. I said, both of us cannot speak at the same time. I understand that you're frustrated, but the bottom line is, you know, I'm telling you the facts of the situation, and obviously you don't like what you're hearing, so you're trying to cut me off. So I said, well, listen, I said, bottom line is, I'm just going to keep repeating myself. So she was like, you keep repeating yourself. I said, yes, because you're not understanding, because I'm not telling you what you want to hear. And I can't tell you what you want to hear because you signed up with this company. You signed up for the policy that you have with this company. So it was your responsibility to make sure that you check that the doctors that you're seeing are in network, so that is conducive to us covering whatever services you have rendered. So ultimately, she says she's not going to pay the bill. I said, that's fine. I said, you can choose to pay the bill or not to pay the bill, because the bill really goes to the doctor. So I said, the doctor will do whatever they do. If they say to collections, whatever the case may be, I said, this is between you and the doctor. So after about a half an hour of this going in circles, and she did that twice, at least twice, telling me to stop talking. So at one point, this is without her telling me to stop talking, I just stopped talking and I let her ramble and ramble. And at one point she finally shut her mouth and she said, are you still there? I said, sure. I said, I'm just giving you a chance to say what you have to say, because I'm going to end up saying the same thing. So then she finally says to me, I'm going to take this up with the doctor. I'm not paying. I said, okay, well, you go ahead and do that. And, you know, if you need anything else, please feel free to give us a call. She got off the phone. And I mean, it's just white people, man, all I can say is that, yes, I do agree that they are smart, but they're smart when it comes to practicing racism, pedophilia, anything that's deviant, anything that's criminal. When it comes to just plain common sense, they are just lost. They're just completely, and it's racism that generates their lack of common sense as well. So it's just all pervasive, racist nonsense that these white people do to try and rile us up. And it was so agitating that I literally had to, like, take a little while when I got off the phone, because I was just like, this lady's just driving me out of my mind. So that's the end of that workplace terrorism story to what happened to get to what happened today. I've been discussing all of these issues with this company between my pay issues, all of these other things, them letting groups of people go at different times, not paying sales reps for sales that they made in regards to recruiting different members for the company. So today we have a meeting, for everybody in our department today. And I actually just said, well, I have a feeling they're just going to lay everybody off. I think today's the day, because over a year ago, I said this was going to happen because they opened up a new location in Arizona, and they had been funneling some of the New York workers that were willing to relocate to Arizona. They relocated them there. And then they also have been recruiting. It's a giant space they have, and it's just more conducive to the kind of experience they're trying to streamline as far as having everything central in one location. So they have been lying to us for over a year, telling us that our department, which was the original department that they ended up relocating there, would not be closed and that we didn't have to worry about it. And I said this a year ago. I said, white people are liars. They're going to do what they're going to do. And if anybody sitting around me right now thinks that they're not going to eventually set everything up over there and close this department, you're really out of your mind. So back then, people looked at me like I had eight heads. It looks like last month, actually, the second to last group, because we'll probably be the last group to leave as far as the workers in our department, they let them go at the end of last month. And at that point, it seemed like a lot more people were on board with what I was saying a year ago. So when this happened today, no one was really surprised about it. And the white females went really bonkers today. They were so upset because they felt we were misled. And as the white guy was talking and giving us their whole story on how they came to this decision and all of this stuff, I just sat there listening to them. And I'm just like, yo, white, you're terroristic, you're psychopathic, you're racist. And this is what I expect from you. So none of this surprises me. I really don't care about anything you have to say. I'm kind of glad that this is going down this way. And they ended up telling us about the severance package. And if we stay until June 2nd, they'll add an additional $5,000 bonus to the severance package and all of this other stuff. So I'm like, good. So I'll see if I could work it out until June 2nd so I can get the extra $5,000 on top of what they're giving me. But ultimately, white people are liars. And this white female literally got like super, super agitated. And she had said, well, we're the ones who were the holdouts. You know, while everybody else was leaving, we decided to stay. We supported the company. And I believe that the severance package that you're offering is not enough. And you should think about, you know, giving us more money for the time and effort that we put in when other people were basically jumping ship was the term that she used. So they said they're going to consider that. Now, the severance package that they're offering is pretty healthy. But if they offer more, I'm all for it. You know, as a victim of racism, that's all good. For all the nonsense they put me through for almost 2 years, it'll be great. So I'm just waiting to hear more about how that develops down the road. But ultimately, I'll be out of a job as of June 2nd. I have my feelers out with a couple of people I know, so hopefully I'll hear something soon. But ultimately, I'm not at all. It's going to be what it is. White people are white people. They're psychopathic. They're racist, and they will terrorize you at every turn. And they lie like they just lie 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do not believe anything they say. For those young people within earshot of this call, don't ever believe what they say. I don't care how nice they treat you. I don't care what they do for you. I don't care what they say. Do not ever believe what they say. They are liars. Thank you so much, and I will mute my line.
Wow. I remember Roz telling us about that. You can go back in the archives and hear some of the updates from workplace racism back when it was with the compensatory call-in on Saturdays, where he talked about that and his theory that they were heading for Arizona, moving for my man Senator McCain out for his territory and do it up out there. If anything, to me, that's why I suggest be observant on the job and be asking questions. Try to learn as much as you can. When people are gossiping and asking you about all kinds of, did you see Scandal last night? Boy, that's Chandra. Hey, what's up with the company and the new structure? But try to learn as much as you can so you're getting information about the place that you work at. Because, I mean, that is invaluable. Where if you can get enough information where you see, oh, man, this place may be closing down in a year. Let me get my resume dusted off and, you know, get myself together so that I'm not in shock when this happens. That's the mode that you want to be in. Try to just be as observant if you can. I've said this before. Try to have someone that you know who's been at that company for 15, 20 years. Like all the things to know about this job or this company, they know. They can go back and give you years. The policy changed here. They got a new CEO here. The company moved. I mean, who can give you that so that you can get a lot of data about this? Because, I mean, that could just be invaluable. A lot of times on jobs, your career could head in a drastically different direction if you had, you know, accurate information. You would know maybe about more job opportunities or job opportunities at other sites within the country. Maybe you could work in a different state. Maybe you could even work in a different country just if you knew more data about the place that you work. So kudos for Roz being informed. I think Dr. Wells even talks about being able to make predictions when you, you know, have an accurate understanding of your environment. So excellent. I'm glad you were in a better position when, you know, everything went down.
Hey, Gus, I was going to say thank you so much for saying that just now. I just got the chills, like the hair on my arms is standing up right now because I immediately thought Dr. Welsing is like the goddess of black self-respect. When she says study white people, and when you understand the system of white supremacy well enough, your predictive capacity skyrockets. And this was a great example of that. So thank you for that, because I did want to give her, just give her the biggest shout out possible. And just also just implore people, just study them. You don't have to say anything. Just sit and observe and listen very closely to what you see and the interactions that go on around you. And believe me, if you understand white supremacy, especially genetic annihilation, and that being the linchpin in these people practicing racism and doing the horrific things they do to us, then trust me, you'll be able to predict things on a level that's just phenomenal. So thanks for reiterating that. I appreciate it. And again, big up to Dr. Wilson. I hope the ancestors are just lifting you up as high as possible. Thank you, and I'll mute my line.
Ashe, black self-respect. Making sure we didn't. Is anybody that we missed completely? Anybody that we haven't heard from at all? I will assume we got everyone. Let me give out the number again in case we have folks that are waiting until the last minute. The number is 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. Mr. Steele, did you want to share your own situation? I know you had additional commentary you wanted to add also. Mr. Steele, are you with us, sir?
Yeah, definitely. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Okay, so I wanted to give an update to a situation that I commented on last week. The people in charge at my particular plantation determined that that we would no longer be allowed to wear, that those of us below a certain metric would not be allowed to wear headphones on the floor during work hours any longer. And immediately upon hearing this, you know, I went into problem-solving mode, and last week I figured out that you could purchase Bluetooth earphones or earpieces that are barely visible to those people who aren't paying attention to your ears. So I purchased this earpiece, and I put my work headset over the earpiece so that it would be disguised, and sure enough, the problem was solved. I'm able to hear perfectly all of my programs. My managers, they are none the wiser. I've had managers come up to me and talk to me while looking at me in the face while I had this earpiece in. And they are none the wiser from what I can tell. Everything is great with respect to that. To the person who said earlier, who gave the advice of, you know, be stern and assertive in your delivery when dealing with suspected racists on the job, I don't know if I can gingerly concur with that, but I think that is how I conduct myself, because after everything was said and done, after all of the comments and all of the jokes and, you know, all the meetings that sprang up afterwards, I'm getting sort of the same treatment. People are, you know, just making their way for me. The people are a little bit more careful about what they're saying around me. One of my managers walked by my desk and saluted me instead of saying some offhand comments. So I think that amongst the managers that are around my area, I think they have made a determination that I am not a person that they can simply goad into an emotional outburst. In fact, if they want to deal with me, and, you know, battle wits, I will probably get the better of them, which has happened a number of times, and I've documented every single one of those episodes. So I don't know if they know that I'm documenting every single thing. I don't know if they know that I'm logging all of their activities when I, you know, do my little recap emails or anything like that. But they know that they can't, that I'm not, I guess, one of the plantation workers that can be goaded into a number of emotional outbursts. And also, I'm new in Southern California, and occasionally I do comedy, and I've been doing more and more of it lately. And every time I go to an open mic, this is just a consistent thing. I always sit in the front row. This is something that I've always done since I started. I sit in the front row, and I always look at the comedian that is performing. And I do this, and sometimes, you know, there might be a little bit of audience participation on my part, or they may, you know, say some comments at me, but it's all, you know, in the spirit of comedy. One thing I've noticed in Los Angeles is that racist or suspected racist comedians here, they have a really hard time dealing with just the presence of a black person that looks them in the eye. I've seen this weird meltdown mode that these comedians go into, where I've been cussed out several times at, I've been cussed out three times in the last month at these open mics by simply just sitting down and looking at these people. And it's very strange. It's very dramatic. They usually storm off. Yesterday it happened again. It was a suspected racist white female. And she went into some tirade about how she, you know, has white guilt but doesn't really, and, you know, gets with black guys or whatever. And I simply asked how many. And she lost it and started crying and everything like that. And everybody was just congratulating me. So I'm just saying that that's something that really is strange here. I've seen that happen multiple times. I'm starting to understand why the Kramer situation happened. There's just something going on with the suspected racist in this part of the world that causes them not to be able to handle their themselves on a comedy stage. That's something I'm observing, and I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Wow. Great problem solving with the earbuds. I remember that coming up from last week. I'll just state again, be aware of that on the jobs, the policy and procedure. It can be changed at any moment. And I've said I have experienced this in my work history, where I felt like whites on the job particularly changed the policy for me. Like, oh, the nigger is happy wearing his little hat on the job. We'll change it and make it no hat, no hats on the job. Like, I've seen that sort of thing. I've heard that from other non-white people. So just be, you know, aware of that. And that's why I say, hey, make sure you read your policy and procedure and be aware when it gets updated. And then great job of problem solving so that you can continue to listen to your content, get your job done, and not have any issues. Other folks, anybody that we missed? I think we got a half hour, maybe a little more left in the program pending. Folks we have not heard from, if you have commentary, the number 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. Folks have any other anybody that we missed or suggestions that they want to toss in? Any thoughts on, in my view, taking advantage of all the attention with the Fox and the Bill O'Reilly situation right now to bring that up on the job, to request maybe a refresher on sexual harassment in the workplace, just to make sure that everybody understands what is expected of them? Anyone, you know, have any thoughts on that, trying to use this situation to try to make our jobs a little better for us?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Yes, I think that's a good idea because it's needed on all levels. I want to give Black self-respect to Roz on his job, because I don't know if it would have been so nice. I probably would have started messing with the white girls and told them we need to get one of those Fitbits, because we're going to start taking our 10,000 steps because we have the door. But I would have told her that. But that's not nice. She did better. I have two incidents. One harassed, well, both kind of, well, I'll tell you. First, I'm a teacher, and it's finals time, and I teach mostly white kids. So, you know, what can I do to get an A, blah, blah, blah. And I have one. I'm going to have to sit him down. He bribed me with drugs and alcohol. He's like, I'm just playing, ha, ha, ha. I don't, he just, he did it twice. He did it both days this week. I have class twice this week. He did it both days. I was like, no, that's not acceptable policy. You know, you just don't do that. That was weird. But this one happened a little while ago, and it could start coming up. It was brand new. I went to a diversity seminar. We had different types of people, and there was a man becoming a woman at the program. And this man becoming a woman is in my college of business, and he sent an email last semester letting us know that he had decided to become a female and blah, blah, blah. And I was very shocked because I'm like, I don't know you. I've only been here 2 months. Why am I getting this, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's just her life, blah, blah, blah. So after the diversity thing, we meet, and I ask her, I guess that's proper. Never know who's listening. I ask her, you know, I really don't understand why I got this email. You know, this doesn't really affect my job performance. I don't know you. I wouldn't treat you different. I don't know what the problem is. You know, and then she was like, she had explained, blah, blah, blah. And then she said this, and I didn't know what to say about it. I guess it's technically not such sexual harassment, but we were talking about, you know, because we talk about medical benefits and stuff. And she said that I have more testosterone in me than her. And I was like, it was not a big crowd, but it was a crowd of people. And I was like, whoa, you know, I don't need no surgery. I've been this way my whole life. So I didn't know how to take that. I still don't know what to do with it. I'm going to meet with the head of the, I guess, diversity and inclusion, because she keeps inviting me out to coffee and talk to her. But, yeah, that was, I don't know what to do. I can't really wrap my head around that. That was just weird. And I knew it was out of line, but that one just got me. That he, because he's taking hormones to become a woman and suppressing his testosterone, I guess I'm less of a woman than, and I was born that way and have all the biological evidence and incidences to prove that from the beginning. Thank you.
Wow, that's the way it sounded to me too, and you recounting it like this. White individual, suspected racist. We can drop the gender pronoun. You'll just be a suspected racist. Was saying, I'm more of a woman than you, Negro. That's exactly the way it can. And the only reason that I'm saying that was my interpretation is because that is repeated. I've heard that consistently in the context of black females and talking about some of the patterns that they've had in interactions with gay white men and all the other in the LGBT community. But I've seen that sort of thing consistently from a workplace aspect with a conversation where this suspected race soldier said, I have more or you have more testosterone in your body than I do. I think that also was a deliberate act of white supremacy. And in my view,
I looked at the policy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I looked at the policy, and even though we're in the same college of business, like they're in a different department, only reason I saw him because I went to this meeting, I went to this meeting, and when we have college of business-wide meetings, I'll see her. But it's not, I mean, I have no other interactions with her, so it's not affecting my performance. If I have complaints, I have nothing to do with this person except we work in the same building. And so I'm like, technically, I guess that's not harassment, but I was like, that was not cool.
I thought it was an act of racism myself. To me, it just seems, why are we even having this conversation in the job? Like, that's like number one. I guess
well, because about benefits, I'm sorry, because it affects his, she was talking about how she can't get certain benefits or something, and how people are dropping the class now because he's made the switch, because our school is, the students seem pretty religious. I mean, they have scriptures all over, because they write on the ground with chalk. Mm-hmm. There's scriptures all over the ground. They wear the Jesus T-shirts. These are Jesus people. So they're very Jesus-like. So I guess, you know, she feels offended because the students, they're very vocal. I mean, they're not mean to me, but they're very, you know, vocal that they believe in Jesus. They don't, there's no shame for them in that. And so I guess they've gotten some, this person has got some of that. And like I said, people dropping the class. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't drop the class. But that's distracting. Because now I have all these questions, like, what do you do this? Why did this happen? You know, this, to me, it strings up a whole lot of questions, which detracts from me getting my education. So I got to go. Like you or not, I got to go. I can see that side from a student's standpoint, but...
Wow. Does anyone, or I guess any black females in particular, have any suggestions on how you would proceed with this? If at all.
Don't feel bad. It was new to me. I don't know. Go ahead, Mima. I'm sorry.
We heard you.
Okay. I just from listening to you and the story, with those religious schools, they're kind of tricky too, because they're only practicing one religion. It's just in the name of something else. Mm-hmm. But with the comment that, well, just the small talk that she made, and just throwing that in like that to say that maybe you should have the surgery because, you know, she's more of a woman than you. That's how they feel in general. They always have that attitude. They can do it better. They're always in competition with you. They're always watching you. They're always looking for little things like that to throw at you and then hoping to get some kind of response, be it negative or positive, so they can do their next move. So the least amount of contact that you can have with any of these people, especially if you go to the school, you have to deal with them. I would, and I would just take it with a grain of salt, or maybe that's a metaphor. I would just deal with it until I was finished with whatever this program is, and then just know that you'll encounter these kind of people and just how to deal with it. But those little wisecracks or those little rude comments and all that extra, then in the name of religion, you have these settings to where it makes it seem as if it's harmless, and then with them just being so boisterous about just saying anything. It's because they don't care. And then they have the religion to back them up, so everything seems so innocent and pure. But they're always in competition with you. They're always watching you. They're always looking for little things to strike at you or make you feel less than, because that's their job, to me. So that's all I wanted to interject. Thank you.
Can I be heard?
Appreciate that. Yes, sir, Roz.
Yes, I wanted to speak to that, too, because one thing I find is that white people are always emasculating black men and masculinizing black women or black females. I would say it reminds me of Serena Williams when they compared her to a horse with the whole Sports Illustrated cover, I believe it was, like a year or two ago. And ultimately, it also reminds me of Neely Fuller when he discussed the white male anus becoming the new black female vagina, and just the whole culture of how white people function in regards to their deviance is just legendary. And I would just say, because I find that to be highly inappropriate, and I think that stuff like this is going to happen more and more simply because white homosexuals, antisexuals, they have like a power now that we've never seen in the history of the world at this point. So their ability to use their anti-sexual deviant status and behavior as a means to insult and further emasculate black men or masculinize black women is going to be, I think it's going to just ratchet up. But I would just go to the manual, the company manual, and if there's a policy for like workplace harassment, I would consider that a form of harassment. Because, I mean, is it appropriate? I would ask the supervisor, is it appropriate for someone to make comments of this type of a sexual nature where they're basically masculinizing someone? I find that to be highly insulting. And is that something that, well, not even insulting, I wouldn't even use that term because I don't want to personalize it. I would just say that that's something that I find to be completely inappropriate. And is that something that we should be doing on the job? Excuse me. Is that something that's conducive to us actually doing a good job and doing what we're paid to do? Or is this something that that's allowable? Let me know. And if it's not a part of the company policy, I want to move forward with getting this handled because that's just completely inappropriate workplace behavior and discussion. And one other thing I was going to ask about, because I just found out about this yesterday on my company, they had this email that they sent out, and it was called titled Out in Tech. And I'm just going to read this to you because this is just mind-blowing to me. It says, our mission, Out in Tech, unites the LGBTQ plus tech community. We empower aspiring tech leaders to improve our world by showcasing accomplished speakers, producing timely and thought-provoking events, and connecting our members to new opportunities and each other. As a 501c3 nonprofit, we provide resources and mentorship to ensure career access for LGBTQ youth and provide web services for LGBTQ activists around the world. Who we are. Out in Tech has over 11,000 members in New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Boston, with more chapters on the way. Out in Tech leadership team is comprised of a national board of directors, executive director, and volunteer led city teams. Now, this is crazy. They had this whole thing. This is as racist as it gets. They had this whole thing to protect and help serve LGBTQ people. Like I said, in my company, all of the black people that were ever promoted to supervisors were all homosexual. There's quite a bit of homosexual white men on the job as well, and non-white, non-black men on the job. And I just find, like, all of these services that they're propagating for this deviant behavior, yet you have all of these black people on the job who are not getting promotions, who are basically at the lowest rung in the company, but yet they're doing all of these things behind the scenes that, like I said, I just happened upon this email. I wasn't going to pay it any attention. And then I read it, and I'm like, wow, so there's this whole systemic network that as long as you're involved in this kind of deviant behavior, then it's all good. We're going to look out for you, make sure you're straight. But yet black people can't even get, you know, a nickel. We can't even be on welfare or be poor without them trying to destroy any access to any sort of money that we have. So I just wanted to put that out there. But for the black female with that issue, I would approach HR and just ask, is this appropriate workplace conversation for someone to masculinize me and do it in front of a room full of people? Thank you so much, and I'll mute my line.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I try to be careful because I work at a school, so it's not just me. It's for students, and students get funny. So you have to be you have to be careful everywhere, but you definitely have to be very careful with something. This is a faculty issue, but it can spill over to students, so I try to be very careful. Like, if this was just, I just try to be very careful. Because this is, like I told him before, I said, I don't understand it. I don't know where all these names came from. I should have told him these, I think all these names just came up from white people to confuse us, but I don't know where all these names came from. I don't want them. I'm a female. That's what I was. I'm cool with that. I don't need no extra labels. I have enough. Thank you.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I had a question for the female caller. Is it requested by the school or that individual who classifies as white? Is it requested that you call him or her?
Yes. You have to, whatever they say, that's what you use. So he is now a she. And I don't have... If that's what you want to call, just like it says in the name card, you call the people what they want to be called. You want to be she, you want to be Queen of Sheba, blah, blah, blah. I really don't care. Just don't mess with me. I'll call you almost anything. Don't mess with me.
Yeah, I just think it's unfortunate, you know, because that's a psychological, let's say, war strategy to, let's say, with those children, you know, black children. Imagine they're having to call this white terrorist male, a woman. Can you imagine what that's doing to their psyche and what they think they should do with their own genitalia? So yeah, that's all I would say.
Let me just say, I work at a college and it's predominantly white. There are not that many black students. So this affect, these are white people having problems among other white people, usually.
Mm.
Yeah, so these are adult, young college adults. I keep calling them kids, but no, these are 18. These are adults, and the student population is primarily white, primarily Southern, and primarily a lot, not primarily, but definitely a lot of religion. So, like, this professor has some problems with them because, you know, they're, oh, homosexuals wrong, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm not, he's, I guess he doesn't, she doesn't, she's homosexual, blah, blah, blah. I don't, stuff I don't understand. All I know is this testosterone thing, that was uncalled for. That's all I know. Fix my problem, and you go do whatever you need to do with the rest of your life.
Hmm. If you, and I've said this to other folks too, if you, any of you all, if you call in or write in about an issue on the job, right, if you can give us an update to let us know, it's not just me trying to be nosy about you all's lives, but I think it's important just in terms of counter-racist study, just seeing, you know, which strategy you use, whether you use something suggested from the program or if you come up with your own strategy, just trying to figure out what works. And so when we get to hear, you know, if you decide you're going to go in and maybe address this, you know, let us know what words you decided to use, how you decided to attack it, and let us know how it turned out. That's helpful for a lot of people, me first and foremost, but I suspect it helps a lot of folks, particularly for this situation, because I am hesitant. I would say much more hesitant than I am around other issues, because it's been my observation that racists have been so skillful around what they call LGBTQ and whatever else they add, quote unquote, gay rights. They have been so skillful at attacking black people who, you know, they say are not supportive of this and saying that you're homophobic, that I would be very careful about this sort of issue on the job. This is one that I would really want to make sure that I'm, you know, whatever words that I'm going to use, what I'm going to say, that I have really carefully considered it, because I think this is one that, and I don't know, this might have even been that sort of ploy. That's why I say I have to consider a lot with this issue, because I've seen so many black people, their careers in shambles around this. Isaiah Washington, he was mentioned recently on the program. To say something like that, to pull you, you know, into some sort of conflict or what have you, and then race soldier begins crying and, you know, this is a part of the trauma and I'm being, you know, that I could see that going a variety of different ways where it is not to your benefit, ma'am, or black people's benefit in general in these sort of situations, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. That's why I've been very slow and kind of deliberate and thinking about what should I do. Because like I said, I looked at the manual. I knew it wasn't sexual, because it didn't seem like sexual harassment. Like I said, looking at, you know, their definition, this, I don't work with this person. Nothing else they're going to do is really going to affect my performance. But that was just weird. And, you know, and like you said, you talk about the group, like they had the safe spaces all over these college campuses. And someone else brought that up at the diversity thing. All these safe spaces, they seem for a less, you know, the LGBTQ group. And this was a black lady. She's like, well, what about the black people's selves? She was more tactful. Well, basically, what about the black people's spaces? There are no black people's spaces. So this was brought up at the diversity session, that is a problem. So that was brought up, and hopefully they will address that.
Mm.
That's
awesome.
Our ideas.
We heard you, Stacey, in the UK.
Hi. I was just going to comment, actually. We had a very similar scenario where I work. So last year, we did some diversity training, and we were in groups, and various matters were being discussed after watching a video around different issues around diversity, and there was a question mark a question raised by one of the subgroups about, you know, how you deal with comments made by protected groups, and that was just one of the areas to be followed up after that event, and I'm not even quite sure what the issue was behind that remark, but it was something that my director was required to follow up. So a couple of months later, there was a gay male in the organisation who had made a comment to a female worker, and he was somebody who liked to make really offensive remarks to people, but done in a really jokey way, and he'd do it to everybody, and literally he'd been like that from the time that I joined that directorate, so it's going on for years. And you know, sometimes it can be funny, but then times when it can be really extreme. And I can't even relay the comment that he made to this female, but she's an older white woman who, the comment that he made was about her genitalia, and it was related, you know, it was as offensive about, you know, in terms of her gender, but also her age. And he's gay, but he does dress up, you know, for like gay pride and stuff like that. And I do, you know, and he'd always make comments to me about my anatomy as well. And I do think there's a lot of jealousy there. Anyway, so this comment to this woman, she then took offense. And I mean, I could see why she would get upset. And when he told me about it, I was quite honest about it, that, you know, I can see exactly why that woman was as upset as she was, because eventually she lodged a complaint and he was found guilty of sexual harassment and probably age discrimination as well, but it was dealt with as sexual harassment. Now, obviously, in the system that exists, he has been transferred. He hasn't been fired, but he was the PA to the director. So he ended up lodging various complaints about her and about the fact that his behaviour was allowed to go on for literally years in the organisation. He was saying it was condoned. And to a degree, I think that was correct. But either way, he was found guilty of sexual harassment. But he's been transferred rather than fired. So, you know, I mean, to be honest, the comment that's been made, I mean, I would log it in your own records. I'd ignore it because I do think there's just a whole lot of envy there. But if they continue and it gets too much, I mean, I do think that, you know, it is a form of sexual harassment, without a doubt.
Logical.
Thank you.
I feel like I've heard that before. Even someone has a saying about white people getting transferred instead of being terminated from a job. We had number one. If we have listeners in Virginia and investors, if we have folks who know of employment opportunities for folks in Virginia, kind of the South Central Virginia area, drop Gus T an email. Some of our listeners in the Virginia area looking for employment opportunities, just something so that they can say that they are gainfully employed within the great Commonwealth of VA. You can drop me an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. Much obliged. Also, we had another person that wrote in. This is since we came live on the air. A few weeks back, earlier this year, we had a person. They wrote in about workplace racism, and their father was having some issues on the job. If folks remember, I think this was the black male was on the job, and it was a white woman. I don't remember. She got upset with him for some reason, whatever it was. She decided she was going to be racist, so she began yelling at him in front of, you know, like everybody on the job. And so he was codified. He didn't get angry. He didn't retaliate anything. He just, you know, tried to distance, be like, whoa, this is really unacceptable for you to be speaking, conducting yourself in this manner. She just continued to berate him and yell and everything. And so he just left, and she followed him out of the premises, right? She followed him all the way to his vehicle and is yelling at him as he's in his vehicle driving away. She's continuing to yell at him, and so she's writing in to follow up. So she says, the managers at my father's workplace played it cool and pretended to be understanding, particularly when they observed other witnesses approaching my father, all of whom openly agree that his supervisor's behavior was out of control. Other witnesses even disclosed that they'd been mistreated in like manner. The supervisor was even told to apologize to him, claiming that she had been confused, though she did so grudgingly. However, behind the scenes, management followed through with a series of subtle retaliations. Other supervisors were tasked with cropping up reasons to write up her father for seemingly trivial offenses that he had not even committed, all of which were further not explicitly covered in his training. That's something we talk about all the time, not being properly trained, nor in the company policy. He was approached by a manager and asked to sign a document admitting that he'd done one such trivial offense. My father denied it and attempted to delay signing the document a couple of days after he insisted on adding additional information in his defense to the document. He was told that it was against company policy to do so. My father ended up quitting on the spot. I think that he could have fought this treatment and made further inquiries into both the policy and the pending investigation, or even escalating the affair to an outside agency. However, at his age, I think that he has lost all patience with these sorts of games and thought that his job was more trouble than it was worth. Once again, thank you for all your advice and support. She did start off the letter, this black male's daughter, saying she appreciated. We discussed this on the program before. People had suggestions and what have you, and she did thank everyone for the suggestions. Then she said she shared them with her father. But just the tackiness of the workplace situations. I've said that as well. I think we talked about that from an international perspective. This is what you should expect. White people, they're going to communicate. They're going to talk, even if, you know, they try to give some sort of pretense that, oh, my goodness, we have got to rebuke Jenny. It's a disgrace that she behaved this way. And, oh, man, you do this again, you're going to be out of here. This is your one warning. They'll pretend, but these folks are hanging out together, doing, you know, shots and beers and hanging out at each other's houses and what have you. Even the white people that may seriously not like each other, they will for sure put that on the back burner while they go to work on us, the Negroes. So that's number one. Number two, in this sort of situation, it sounds like, you know, this is pretty big part of the playbook. If a non-white person, if they are observant, they are being codified, and they actually do perform in a way that, hey, they stop a racist. And in fact, this racist might have to actually apologize for her crude racist conduct. Like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll get him back for you. Don't even worry about it. We'll do it so it doesn't even look like you directly are getting him. Because I think she said that they were getting other supervisors to write him up for these offenses. And that, you just have to be prepared for that sort of thing. That's why I emphasize all the time, know that policy and procedure before these incidents pop up. That puts you in a much better position to be armed so that you know what their policy is. You'll be in a much better position to ask questions. I think it'll even help you be a little bit less stressed, just because you'll know a lot more about what is supposed to happen. And particularly if you're being accused of a violation, if you're a little bit more familiar with policy and procedure, which violation exactly did I, you know, am I being accused of having violated? And we can just, everything works from questions, just being more informed. Any thoughts on what the listener wrote in? Sad that her father had to leave. Go ahead, Ross.
Yes, I thought that was really just tacky, trashy, and trifling. And it made me think of Dr. Welsing again, just when she discussed in the past how so many black people are not working, or they're just choosing to leave the plantation altogether and not go back due to that sort of treatment. It makes me think of my wife, who hasn't had to work for a number of years now. And I told her not to work so that she didn't have to deal with that sort of terroristic activity on a regular basis that she dealt with for a long time. And it's a shame that that he wasn't able to, you know, try any of these tactics, but you have to take care of your mental health. And I'm pretty sure he's probably fed up. He's probably lived life long enough and just like, okay, I just can't tolerate, you know, this white terrorism anymore. And it's understandable. You know, sometimes I want to do the same thing. You know, I can't, but I want to do it. And it's sad. It's really sad that we have to continue to go through these sorts of incidences. And all we're trying to do is just
live life as simply as possible, make a decent living, and just get as far away from them as possible. But they just are so narcissistic, they have to infuse themselves in our lives in these ways, because this is just the plantation redux. That's all this is. It's just the plantation playing out in a more refined and modernized form and fashion. And also, even for the previous male caller that talked about the black female situation, what he said about, even though he thought that the people were children, when he said, you know, what kind of effect is this having on their psyche? That right there, what he said, just really puts into perspective the mental illness that is this whole thing. Because, I mean, think about it. You see a person who has male genitalia, but you have to call them something they're not, a female. I mean, and it's only because white people are in power and they're dictating that, okay, that's a man, but you're supposed to call him a woman because that's what he wants to be called, which is fine. You can be called what you want, but just the lunacy in that is just out of control. It's just like if white people say a cat is a dog from now on, and everybody just has to switch. And, okay, a cat is now a dog, and a dog is now a cat, because that's what, you know, the terrorists in power are telling us to do. That is just, I mean, the whole concept, and it's, again, it's no disrespect to people who are LGBTQ, because I just see that the vast majority of these people are not white specifically, because white people are deviant. That's in their genetic code, so they can do that all they want. They're the origin of this behavior. But non-white people have been genetically and chemically altered, and it is like one of the most acute forms of warfare that I've ever borne witness to. But that is just so indicative of the lunacy that is that entire cultural foundation that they're putting out here, and they're just blowing this up. So yeah, I just find it to be very sad, and you know, I'm sorry that he had to go through that, and I wish him the best as far as finding something new, and hopefully this doesn't have a lasting effect on his mental health. Thanks again, and I'll meet my line.
Hear, hear for black mental health. Maybe it sounds like that's what he was doing, making a move to preserve his black mental health, which I, you know, highest respect. Other folks, anybody else have a commentary on black father leaving his job after this white woman terrorized him? Right on. Last few minutes before we wrap up, did we miss anybody? Anybody have any final thoughts they want to get in before we conclude this week's Workplace Racism?
Gus, I just have to say thank you again. I don't know how often you hear this, but like I said, I had a rough day. It wasn't work-related, thank goodness. Like I said, I was very ecstatic for everything that went down the way it did today. It was more on the home front that things were kind of touchy. But I just must say to you, this show in particular is like a mental health lifesaver. And I have to thank you, and just for all the other callers. And I know it's hard for all of us, to discuss being harassed and terrorized and emasculated and masculinated for black females. And all of the stuff that we talk about is really, really stressful. It's really, really painful in a lot of ways as well. But just to be able to have a platform where we can have less confused non-white people that are willing to come together to really put our minds together to help each other through these things is just one of the most important things that we can do as a people to try and help ourselves replace the system with justice. So I'd like to thank you, Gus, absolutely, for this platform, and to everyone who calls in, to everyone who comments, to everyone who makes suggestions. It's so important. And for those people who listen but don't call in, please call in, because you have no idea how much your story can help someone, or your suggestion might be able to help someone. So thanks again to you all, and just thanks for everything, and I'll meet my line.
Much obliged, Roz, and all the folks who, you know, have dialed in to share, offer suggestions, or all of the above, to comment. Stacey, all the way in the UK, staying up until the wee hours of the morning, almost 4 a.m. to hang out and offer her views as well. I think it's super important. I know, like I said, I always mention this, Dr. Welsing, she talked about how it's really important for black people to talk about what's happening to us on the job, and not just in the, you know, let's all sit around and feel bad and woe is us, white people show are making our life tough, but, you know, to really try to come up with some strategies, things we can do to solve some of these problems that we know will be facing us, you know. Well, I was going to say bright and early in the morning, but for some of us, morning is already here. So yeah, thanks everyone, and I hope it has been constructive at some level. I was going to recommend as well, they have apps, like I said, the technology is incredible. They have apps where you can record. We talked about that before. If you need a device, if you need to record something, they have all kinds of very affordable recording options. They also have apps for people who are having discrepancies with your compensation. They weren't, you know, logging your hours worked correctly, or just whatever excuse they were coming up with to try to cheat you out of your money. But they have apps where you can just keep track of your hours worked. You can print it out. You can store the information on your phone, so you'll have it all there. You can get a nice, elegant-looking printout where people have used this. They have a lot of apps that can really make it easier for you to defend yourself on the job. And that's how you know, that's how I think about this. This is self-defense when you're going into hostile territories for work. But they have a lot of things that you can use that will help you keep track of what your schedule is for the job. I even recommend, if you're in a work environment and they post, you know, what the schedule is going to be, go ahead and take a picture of it, because it seems like a lot of times that can be one of the things that racists do. So any of the ways that you can use technology, some of the newer bits of technology and what have you, new apps and what have you that are available to make things easier for you so that you have all the documentation that you need if a problem should arise on the job, and hopefully there won't. But if a problem does come up, boom, put you in a better position to deal with that. Take advantage. And if any of you all find apps that you use for your job to make your life easier, share. I think I've shared a few of them. Some of the tactical pen recording devices, and the device I think we shared a few weeks back that'll help you keep your hours logged for the job. If you all find any other apps or technology that's helpful in dealing with the workplace front, share. Drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. Any final thoughts before we conclude?
I had an app actually that I used just to touch on that. Recently, I had a meeting with the head of HR at my company in regards to my FMLA. So I had a meeting with him and my supervisor. So I recorded that, and it was like a video conference meeting. He was on video conference. My supervisor and I were actually together in the room. So I recorded that, and then I ended up having to call him back two days later, just to kind of clarify some things with the FMLA so that he could then relay that clarified information to my supervisor. And I had to speak with him on the phone. So I actually uploaded this app. It's called Call Recorder. And I recorded the entire phone conversation. And it's a phenomenal app. I had to turn it off, because if you leave it on, it'll record literally every single phone call, even if it's a 2-second phone call. So I left it on just to record that conversation, so in case anything came up down the road, I can always play back exactly what he said so that everyone can hear it for themselves if anything goes wrong. So that was an app that I found. It was called Call Recorder, and I got it on Google Play. So thanks again.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I also wanted to mention, I know a female caller mentioned earlier about the cube that was on her desk, and I guess it was her supervisor that was all worried about what the cube was. I am pretty sure that there are some usual suspects, some terrorists out there that are probably listening in on our constructive calls. And I'm pretty sure that's probably where the heightened attention is probably coming from some of the observations of what they're seeing on individuals who are probably more codified in the workplace. So I would just say, as we do this in reference to being more constructive and purchasing these types of things, making sure that we probably put them in locations that are a little bit more obscure so that people aren't seeing them, so that we can continue to utilize them, so that they're not starting to, as you mentioned, Gus, start to create new rules that will not allow us to have anything, you know, technical in the workplace, or even our phones on the desk or whatever they want to kind of change in reference to implementing rules to keep these devices away from us. So just something that I thought of as we were going through the items to purchase.
Good idea. Good ad. Which, again, gives me a great opportunity to encourage. I think it's best only have things on your desk at your work area that you need for your job. I'm just there. I mean, if you listen to the cows over a number of years, man, you can go back and hear a black female calling in where she had chocolate on her desk, and that ended up being a cowbell with some tacky sexist commentary. Where I myself, candy dish, where that ended up being stolen, meetings, I mean, just lots of wasted time. I mean, I've seen this over and over again. Pictures, I think InterstandingIsness.com. Kamisha M. Africa. I think she commented this a couple years back when she talked about she had her little peeps. These are just little figurines on her desk. And that just became an excuse for racists to come by and make tacky racist jokes about her little figurines on the desk. Just anything that is not a pen, a phone, a stapler, whatever you need to get your job done, man, that I look at that as an invitation for racist strife in whatever form it takes. Today is a new one, an accusation that you have some sort of spy equipment on your desk. Again, only things that you need to complete your job. I think that's the best strategy for black people under serious conditions of white terrorism on the job. With that, we'll wrap up this week. You can feel free to drop an email. If you write emails pretty much between now and next Thursday, we'll share them on the broadcast next week. So feel free to drop an email if you have a suggestion about anything you heard, or if you just want to share your own workplace experience. We'll be here tomorrow for Coretta Scott King, the late. Her autobiography, My Life, My Love, My Legacy. It is phenomenal. We're about a quarter, well, I guess we're a little bit further than a quarter of the way through the book, but it's been great thus far. Tomorrow we're picking up on the section where she talks about the March on Washington, 1963. Will be a hoot to hear how that gets described in the book. Echo people with their speakerphone once again, just to see what they include, what gets left out. We'll be looking forward to tomorrow's section. We'll be here Saturday for the compensatory call-in, normal time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and we will do a retake for the Global Sunday broadcast this coming Sunday. We attempted last weekend, but my internet signal was just really bad. I was at the same library I broadcasted from not the day before, but 2 days before. And for whatever reason, the signal was horrendous. So we will try it again this coming Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon Pacific. That's it. We will wrap up. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I know the weather is warmer. It was almost a really nice day here in the Pacific Northwest. As it gets warmer, we still want to be codified. Just because it's nice, just because you get a little bit more sunshine, does not mean racists take a vacation. If anything, it means you should be even more codified. It might mean some of the race soldiers that were previously occupied for at least a few hours of day with school now have more free time to terrorize and roam free. So keep that in mind. I would say sobriety would be best if you're going to be out and about frolicking in the summertime. Sobriety. Race soldiers, they are always on the lookout to make problems for non-white people. I think today, the Washington House, I think they just approved new legislation where police can stop motorists. I think they distracted driving, I think is what they call it. And with this ticket, it goes directly to your insurance company. So they immediately hike your insurance rates. And knowing what I know about racism, white supremacy, woo, if you are a black person, you're about to be paying about $5,000 a week for your insurance, knowing what I know. So if anything, you want to try as much as we can to minimize contact with enforcement officials and racists, whites in general. Certainly, if you're going to be under the influence, I would say be codified about, you know, what victims you're going to be around. Certainly, it shouldn't be any racists around, or I would say, and there should be a very low likelihood that you're going to have direct contact with white people, enforcement officers, whatever the case is. That is a horrible combination all the way around. And it's been my experience that a lot of non-white people, we do not make the best decisions when we are intoxicated. A lot of us, myself, top of the list, a lot of us don't make great decisions anyway under the system of racism, white supremacy. Adding alcohol or cigarettes, cannabis, whatever it is, frequently that just makes it way worse and makes it way easier for racists to continue to dominate and terrorize us. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately.
Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Hey, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.